This is PFW in Progress.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue.
PFW in Progress.
I grew up in a tough neighborhood. We used to say you can get further with a kind word and a gun than you can with just a kind word.
With Fred Kirsch.
You afraid to come out from behind your men? You afraid to stand up for yourself?
You want to do it now? You want to talk mad now?
Where's the gabagoo? She's like, there's no gabagoo. He's like, there's no gabagoo.
What?
Easy.
You talk to me like that in front of my son? You and your family.
Paul Perillo.
Isn't that just like a wop who brings a knife to a gunfight?
Get out of here, you jagle bastard.
And Andy. And Andy?
Yes, I knew it. That's all you need, one thieving wop on the team.
I said that you're a lying member of a no-good race.
Andy Hart.
Much better than you, you stinking Irish pig.
Oh, I like it.
Some guy named Tom.
I want that son of a dead. I want him dead. I want you to get this where he breathes. I want you to find this Nancy boy. I want him dead. I want his family dead. I want his house burnt to the ground.
PFW in Progress.
All right, welcome, excuse me, to PFW in Progress, Fred Kirsch. I'm in the middle of eating cheesecake, and Gary gives me the signal.
Where is everybody?
They're up eating. All right. Well, here we are. It's Fred and Gary. The rest of the guys will be here momentarily. I don't know why they couldn't be here on time, but it's training camp, and that means free lunch for everybody. So,
as opposed to the rest of the Wednesdays when people send us food.
Right. But, you know, God forbid that everybody get here on time, you know, bring the plate with them or whatever. You know, they're, so they're up there lounging. But we're here. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Webradio@patriots.com. Phone number is 508-543-7482. That's 508-543-7482. And in the middle of training camp, it's hot. It's humid here at Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, Massachusetts. Guys have one practice today, which is at 2:30 this afternoon. So they'll be in the heat of the day. They had double sessions yesterday, and they'll have double sessions again tomorrow. Bill Belichick just finished up his press conference. We'll talk about that. Well, now, I heard there was a transaction, Gary. Somebody. We'll have to find out more on that.
I have no idea.
When the guys get down here. Oh, and as we speak, you know, the guys have finished their lunch. And so now it's time for them to come in. It's, you know, I really appreciate them being here. You know, I really
so do the listeners.
I really do appreciate, you know, the effort that you guys made.
We
to
just
get
want
down
to apologize to the fans early. For however long you were on here by yourself.
Well, why couldn't you be here on time?
We are on
time.
You have
to start the show early. What time is it?
It's 12:05.
It is?
Yeah.
Not according to everybody else's watch.
Well, according to, you know, the atomic clock. It is 12:05.
So it's 11:03 right now. We've been down here for a minute.
Well, you're still late. That's whatever it is, you're late.
Sorry, we were covering Bill Belichick's press conference.
That would make it 12:03.
Right, here. Right.
My headphones don't work.
All right, well, what do you need more information on?
Transaction today.
Mel Mitchell is coming off PUP and is going to practice.
That's it?
And Justice Hairston was
is on IR.
On IR.
Technically.
Evidently, it was a procedural kind of thing that Bill didn't.
Oh, so I'm not so stupid after all.
No, you're still stupid.
Okay, I'll go with that.
Well, he wasn't cut because of performance.
I don't really know why he was cut. I still don't understand
how
it works.
Well, he wasn't cut. He was put on IR.
Yeah, I don't understand how it works either.
I don't know.
And it has had, like, Jamara Williams had a situation like that, and I think Matt Shelton. Why
they cut both of them?
The kid from Notre Dame.
I thought they just announced they're on IR.
At some point, I think they were released, and then they ended up on IR. They stayed around. Well, I know Jamara Williams was here all year last year.
No, I know those guys were around, but I don't remember them a release specifically saying
well, I mean,
cut.
All right, does a guy's salary who's on IR count toward the salary cap?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, all right, so that's... I was thinking maybe.
Although this one, I'm not so sure.
Yeah, so I don't know. It might be. It's probably a money issue, right?
And Bill didn't really feel inclined to explain it.
It's a six-round draft pick.
For whatever reason, like Bill even went so far as saying that, and I don't know how much he was exaggerating a little, but he said there are times that on these kinds of cases that we actually call the league to make sure we're doing it right.
Right.
Because it's he put it like it was a whole
so point, ridiculous
in terms of procedural kind of transactions for that. I don't mean he didn't even begin to explain it, so I can only imagine how complicated it is that he didn't even try to give us an explanation. He's certainly given us some pretty roundabout explanations on how things work that are kind of over our heads in other cases, and he didn't even try to do it in this one.
Okay. What else is going on, guys? No practice today, but...
Yes, there is practice.
There hasn't been one yet.
Not yet.
Okay. Before A-hole jumps down my throat.
Fred, are you all right being around so many know-it-alls?
But why don't you start off, you know, because this is the first show we've had, you know, since...
yesterday, Fred, someone, Boxborough Ben, asked us for our autographs.
I read about that on the blog.
Yeah, well, and Eric threw us all to the side. He couldn't wait to get over there.
Is that right?
Well, as you know...
When he got there, he said, well, everybody but you.
I think it actually was, who are you? Well, Chad Scott is obviously the biggest thing since last time we've been
day
here.
Day-to-day.
He went from day-to-day to being his career
after
is over. And now Randall Gay and Torrey James seeing a lot of action at corner. Asante Samuel still isn't here, obviously. And
the offense is clicking. Last night, the offense looked tremendous after getting
Well, tell me about
poo-pooed.
That, because
in the morning, Brady and Jabbar Gaffney seem to be on the same
The
page.
End of the morning session, Bill called the offense together and chatted with them for a while, which obviously is not a good pat thing. On the back or anything.
And I don't think the offense has looked really good overall.
No, but I didn't really expect them to. Actually think it's a little questionable how good they looked last night and how the defense was sort of a step behind them the entire time, kind of literally. But they were, you know, hardly any balls went incomplete. None. I can't think of one that was defended really in a team segment or anything. You know, they were just completing passes at will in 2 minute red zone, deep down the field. Play Caldwell made a big play where Sanders, who Tom and I were discussing yesterday. Sanders continues to be in the right spot and not make the play.
Too many times.
That's an issue with him. We've seen it in the middle of the field, on the sideline. Looks like that may be the one thing that keeps him from taking the true step forward that we've kind of been looking for
Decent
on the show.
Decent coverage skills, no ball skills.
Right.
Yeah, he's a better player than the guy I'm going to make the comparison to. But
I bet I know who it is.
Who?
Guy said to Tom yesterday.
Leonard Myers.
Well, that's a very good comparison. I was going to go with Kotosur Wanga.
Oh.
Who also was always where he was supposed to be, but never seemed to make the play, thus earning the name Katost.
You know what happens to those guys?
they get cut. and that's what happened to both of those guys. Now, I think Sanders is a better player than either one of those two guys. First of all,
guys were also corners.
Yeah,
if you can't cover, you're done as a corner. If you can't cover as a safety,
you
go to the Pro Bowl.
Absolutely. Those guys are corners, and there is a difference. But Sanders also came in with better credentials, even entering the league as a third-round pick. Was it third-round pick, fourth-round? Fourth-round pick.
Fourth, yeah.
Fourth-round pick. A little bit better credentials than Myers, and definitely Sarwanga was an undrafted free agent. So I'm not trying to say that this is that worrisome, that he's going to get cut, because that's not going to happen. This guy, James Sanders, is on the Patriots, and he's probably going to play a prominent role in the Patriots right now. But it is kind of a warning sign that we've seen that, and we all made – the same kind of determination that he seems to be there all the time, but the ball seems to get completed every time in his general vicinity.
So the offense looked really good. Probably in today's practice they'll come out in shorts. It won't be full pads, or will it be full pads?
They haven't practiced yet, really. It's all been...
Yeah, even when they've been in full pads, there hasn't been a lot of hitting.
Well, I'm just wondering, like, you know, because I know for a fact that when the offense has a good day, the defense gets together and said, oh, we can't let that happen again. Do you think they'll have a chance to redeem themselves this afternoon, or will they have to wait
till
tomorrow?
I don't know if those guys can cover anybody, to be honest with you.
Wow.
I mean, Adalys Thomas can cover. I mean, he's phenomenal in coverage.
Except Ben Watson yesterday.
I was going to say, and even he had his hands full with Ben Watson yesterday.
That's a good for Ben Watson, though, right?
Yeah, absolutely. That's going to happen. Ben Watson is practice for defensive players. Andy and I were talking yesterday. It's not really fair.
It's harder.
It's a lot harder.
Yeah.
But you can see a guy like Thomas covering ground. Vrabel, Bruschi, Torrey James. I don't see these guys
Alexander.
Covering anybody. Alexander, they can't cover anyone.
That's not good.
No.
But I do agree.
It's not the best in the business.
Is it fair to make that analysis 5 days in the
camp? I think when guys are pushing 34 years old, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Alexander might be unfair, but we've sort of seen the writing on the wall with Vrabel and Bruschi, and it is what it is. That's why they signed Thomas.
Torrey James is 34, right?
Could it be, though, that the Patriots' passing core is just that much better now, and any team will have trouble covering them?
Have you seen the Colts' passing core?
I was going to say.
Well, teams have trouble covering them. I'm sure their own defense has trouble during training
camp.
Right,
they do. And so I'm getting ready for a 51-48.
Well,
say, those two
my
teams
question is,
Tim Donaghy is already taking the over.
Is this the result of it's too early to tell? The Patriots' offense has gotten that much
it's
better,
or
the Patriots' defense has gotten that much worse?
It's too early to tell anything.
Right.
Okay. The only thing
I
would
you're
say
right with that, Fred.
Is that some of the guys who are getting older continue to get older. That's the only thing I'll say. Well,
that's
on
deep
the field,
stuff.
On the field, what you saw last year from some of these guys, I think it's a step worse this year.
Yeah, it's particularly when we saw what was that drill with the running backs going up against the linebacker one-on-one. Teddy Bruschi had a tough time with Heath Evans in particular, but overall he was having a tough time.
Oh, is that covered, for cover?
One-on-one.
Yeah, blitz pickup.
Blitz pickup,
exactly.
Yeah.
Good drill. Always a one,
yeah,
always
I thought we were talking about one-on-one because he also struggled in that.
Well, yeah, he did.
The one-on-ones with the running backs he got,
but
he really got embarrassed on.
But as we said, that's tough for any defender.
Impossible drill.
But
I don't downgrade any defender in that drill.
Right, and that's why I'm kind of leaning to Fred a little bit.
Except Chad Brown.
5 days in, I think it is a little too early because I think, Tom, you made the point. When you're even if you're going 7-on-7s or regular team periods, red zone stuff, they were doing some situational work in. I think from reading your update last night, when you can't hit,
right,
that is it affects the defense far more than it affects
the
offense. The offense is doing exactly what they normally would do,
right, and they know what they're doing.
Minus getting tackled,
right. Right.
So that's a plus.
Right.
The defense is doing what they're trying to do without the ability to kind of knock them off their stride,
right,
without. You know, really getting overly zealous,
and there's
physically.
Really no fear of being tackled,
right?
Right.
You know, so
it just makes it a lot. I think it affects the defense a lot more. Now, that doesn't mean it's okay if you know Vrabel and Bruschi, like these guys.
But
that
if a guy's trailing
night,
a play,
right. you're
then,
trailing.
Right.
You're trailing.
Right. That's a speed issue.
So that is. I'm not saying it's not anything to keep an eye on or be concerned with, but I'm not going to lose a lot of sleep about it right now until. You know, until we see some preseason games and they're actually.
But
tackling.
I think with this team, you know, they've been anointed the team.
Right. Now that's true.
If you're looking for something that could derail them, I think possibly the age on defense. If you start running into teams like the Colts and the Chargers, teams that can move the football offensively, the Bengals, if they're up there, those teams could give the Patriots trouble in the playoffs.
Raiders. sorry.
They just got Culpepper.
Yes. Yeah. So that'll eliminate them from contention. Ah.
But I think you can take a positive that the offense looked pretty good last night with all the guys, you know, Welker running around, all the new faces. Gaffney seems to
be
competing.
We all knew Welker would be great.
The offense, I think.
You're right. Thank you for saying that. We all did. Well said. You're right.
I agree with you. Just because I was the only one that doesn't like Welker, don't put everybody else in the category.
Right.
But I do think the offense is going to be great. I think.
How's Maroney looking though?
Very good.
He's
bigger.
Red shirt off?
No, not yet.
No.
So looks bigger, decision. Quick, nice, quick cutting.
I think he.
You
said,
think he looks bigger?
But yeah, a little bit in the upper body.
I thought he looked leaner than last year.
I just think he's more put together.
Maybe
you know what I don't mean
bigger. We're going down that road again.
Well, it's redistributed.
Right. Exactly.
I think
that's
he
exactly
said the
right.
other day when he had his little powwow with the media that he was ready to take some hits or to.
Yeah, the quote was,
hits,
I can take a hit, they just don't want me to.
Yeah, so he seems to be ready to go, and he got a lot of the carries last night in the team scrimmaging. So
good.
Jabbar Gaffney looking really, really good out there. Him and Brady seem to be on
the
same page.
Well, I noticed Belichick calling him Gaff today. Yep. That's a good sign for him.
He said he's had a great offseason.
Yeah.
You know, Belichick doesn't throw around compliments like that too often.
Gaff. you're right, Fred. He made the roster.
Because he called him Gaff?
I'm just saying it's a good sign for him.
You know, we talked a lot
about... We were talking more about him being on the same page with Tom
Brady. See, you guys don't pick up on these things.
You're right, I don't.
I heard him call him Gaff.
Yeah.
I definitely heard. I heard.
Yeah.
What was to hear about it? Just because you take the next step and put him in the Pro Bowl from that, I don't. That's all.
It's a little term of endearment, a little closer, a little bit more comfort level with the guy.
Well, if fans are looking for any sort of comparison between him and
Caldwell.
Because that was the big debate with all the new guys coming in. They were saying, well, it's got to be...
He didn't call him Caldy.
One or the other is going to make the team. That's what a lot of people were thinking early on. So far, you have to give the edge to Gaffney. He's looked a lot better, a lot quicker.
Everybody agree on that?
I would give the edge to those two and say Kelly Washington's out.
Yes, I would agree. And I think Paul may...
Because I think Caldwell, you can't compare Caldwell and Gaffney. You can compare them if they're competing, but their skills are, to me, light years different because...
How so?
I think Gaffney is far quicker. I don't think
he has
hands that are anywhere near as good. I think
really?
Caldwell is consistent, but... Nothing stands out.
Spectacular.
He's not gonna. He's not gonna break a big play.
The ball better.
He's not gonna break a tackle. But he's gonna be the consistent run down the field 7 yards, turn around, be where I want you to be, and catch the ball. That's what he is. And I actually think there might be a spot for that.
I think Gaffney's similar. I was just going to say, I think, Paul, you made the point where some people call Gaffney a deep threat, and he's not really a deep threat. He's more of that intermediate guy.
I think he's closer to Wes Welker than Randy Moss.
Exactly.
I absolutely think.
And I'll tell you right now, Kelly Washington can't play.
Yeah.
So he cannot play football.
I think he's the guy.
What makes you say that?
He fights the ball every. You look at these other guys, and even like Gaffney and Caldwell, they make it look easy in practice. This guy's jumping in the air, doing backflips, fighting.
He's making
the
easy ones look hard and the hard ones look impossible.
Yes.
Right. And he does. And I think that's absolutely true with Washington. I think right now his best chance, if he has a chance, is some other role. I mean, special teams or something. Some other way that he can make himself valuable. Because I think as a flat receiver, I think Caldwell and Gaffney's experience in the system, and Bill talked about that today, just now in the press conference, has a huge leg up on a guy like Washington. Now, Moss, obviously, it doesn't matter because his skills are just so far advanced to anybody else. Welker has, in my opinion, better skills than those other guys, so he can make up for the fact that he doesn't have the experience in the system. And I don't think Washington can, because I think he does fight the ball the way Tom and Andy said.
All right, now knowing what you know, it's one thing, but before training camp started, if somebody said that Kelly Washington will get cut, would that be a surprise to you?
Well, based on minicamp, I think we all didn't like what we saw in minicamp in terms of the way he caught the ball.
And he's been a half a step better.
He's been better.
Minicamp, he was not an NFL football player. He was Ricky Bryant.
Yeah, I thought in minicamp he really struggled. He hasn't stuck out to me on a negative way so far in training camp. I'm still remembering June in terms of the double catches and flat-out drops. I see Gaffney do that a lot.
Gaffney
too.
Does it a lot too. Gaffney does not have natural hands.
Exactly, he doesn't.
He works to catch the football.
Tom made the good point that you see a lot of times you see a pass coming right to him, and he for some reason feels the need to jump
because he doesn't trust his hands. I think.
Fred, who used to do that all the time?
And he mistimes it too.
Who would jump?
Terry Glenn.
Yeah, and that's why he got hurt a lot.
Jump for everything.
Yeah,
he's hurt again.
It's the same kind of thing, only a lot of times he misjudges the jump, too.
Yeah.
Right.
And he gets there before the ball, and at one point...
She's doing good. Well, I'll tell you, another guy, you know, Ben Watson last year, you know, a lot of crazy catches where he'd come down awkwardly. And I don't know if that's because the pass was just... But he's another guy that needs to learn to catch that ball on the run
but
and keep going.
He's just not natural either. He has to work to catch the football. There's some guys, Randy Moss, guys like that, they just naturally, it just comes easy to them. And there's other guys that have to work and work, and it's never going to look natural.
Well, and talking about all this receiver stuff here, one guy that we haven't seen at all, and, you know, who knows when we're going to, is Stallworth.
Yep.
Does that,
right.
You know, we all kind of put him in the pretty much lock category.
Number two.
Is he still a lock? What would have to happen for him? You know, maybe does he open the season on PUP?
Right,
I don't know
I think he could. I don't think he gets cut.
I don't think he gets cut sight unseen.
Right.
I think he'll have to. He'd have to come back and
I think
out,
even if he came back, he doesn't get
what's
cut.
What's his deal?
Now
the
he could
hamstring?
End up PUP or
who knows
we don't know. Unknown.
He's always
day to day.
Do you know what I'm saying? I mean, does he run the risk of being an odd guy out at least initially?
Maybe
is like playing time, like when the season.
No, I'm talking PUP to start.
Oh yeah, I think he could start the year in PUP. I think at some point they miss too many practices.
I don't know.
But I think at some point you miss too many practices. They go, okay, you start the year in PUP. But I still think he's a part of the plan for the entire
season. Plus, how far behind is he going to be?
Right.
Say what you want about Caldwell or even Gaffney. They've been in the system for a year. They're each having, according to Bill, good off season. So Stallworth comes back week two or three. How far behind is he? What's he going to do? Just run fly routes? Because I don't know. Are they going to have a spot
anyway.
For him? So he better get on the field quickly, because he needs to develop some chemistry with Brady as well.
Speaking of guys in PUP, what did you think of Kareem Brown coming out and saying that Richard Seymour had a little talk with him?
Yeah, I like that. I like that. I wish I knew exactly what he did, but I thought that was, for a kid, for a rookie to have said that. I mean, I don't know how Bill feels about that kind of stuff, but obviously it left an impression on that Seymour took him aside and said, this is not how we do things here.
Right? Hey, young lady, what's your name?
Just in case anyone didn't know, Kareem Brown, rookie draft pick, was suspended from Friday to basically Monday for violating some team rule, and then admitted yesterday that Richard Seymour took him aside and gave him a little talking to. So
he said that was what disappointed him himself
right.
the most, was that he had disappointed a guy of Seymour's stature.
The doyen of the roster.
Of the defensive line.
The what?
The doyen of the defensive
line. What's the doyen?
You don't know it either? Good.
No.
I feel better now. It's the elder statesman of the group, senior member. Yeah.
I never
stature.
Heard the word in my life.
Neither have I. Doyen.
But it was, we Andy and I looked it up, and
used
the
properly.
Writer who used it correctly.
Okay. And who was the writer?
I don't remember.
Mike Reese?
No. I think it was Chris Gasper, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I think you're right. It was in the Globe.
Okay. Very good. What else? What other topics do you want to cover?
How about Asante Samuel?
Anything new?
Nope, done with that.
Next topic.
Now what do you want to do?
Anybody changing their prediction of whether or not he's going to come back before the regular season?
I think they need him, to be honest with you.
They definitely need him.
Torrey James, is, from what I see, isn't covering much.
And Randall Gay was stretching his groin for a long time yesterday.
As Andy points out, every 2 minutes, Randall Gay is somewhere stretching something, limping, doing something. It's only a matter of time.
Only a matter of time.
Chad Scott's injury, I know that it may seem a little insignificant, but I don't think it is. And I think you have all of those veteran guys that you could rely on as depth. And now all of a sudden, you might be taking two people out of that mix with Samuel and Scott. I think that
That's
makes
a
huge difference. That's a big drop. And now you're relying on a guy who's really had a tough time staying healthy in Randall Gay. Because I think we all think that he can play. He can contribute. I don't think he's Champ Bailey or anything like that.
He shouldn't be a starter, but he can play.
We all think he can contribute.
Nickel or dime guy.
Now you're asking him to play 16 games when he hasn't done that ever. Even when he was a rookie, he didn't have to play every game, don't forget. He stepped into the breach when everybody else got hurt. Then he got hurt in 05, he got hurt in 06, he was hurt in college. He's really a small guy. I don't see him standing up in a 16-game season.
Now, what about Merriweather?
I was just going to say, what do you think
of Merriweather?
He's been playing a lot.
He's been playing corner.
Has he still looked? Did he look good last night and all that? Was he getting torched like everybody else last night in the coverage?
It was hard to see.
There weren't a lot of DBs getting torched.
No.
There were a lot of nice plays by the offense, just – you know, a step in front of the defensive back for the 10-yard out, or just beating the safety down the. It wasn't like guys were getting blown away a lot.
And for what it's worth, Merriweather's been matched up a lot in the slot against Welker.
Right.
So I think that says a little something about how confident they are in putting him up against.
So are they preparing Merriweather more for the nickel corner or the corner?
Both.
You think?
He's played a lot on the outside.
My question with Merriweather is, if he can play corner in the NFL, why didn't Miami have him do it?
I think they have a lot of great corners there to begin with.
They have a lot of athletes. The Miami, their safeties their safeties are quasi-corners at Miami.
Right.
They cover a lot of ground. And so they probably thought he was best suited because he can do so much there. But they did line him up at slot corner quite a bit at Miami, so he has experience there. I don't think he played on the outside that much.
No, he didn't. And I kind of side with Fred, where I'm a little dubious that a guy can just jump right in on what's supposed to be, as we've all said, a Super Bowl team, and just all of a sudden he's your starting corner, and he's good enough to...
I don't know about that.
Yeah, I don't know how...
you're not that far from that stage.
But I don't
with
think...
Torrey James I've seen enough where I'm pretty sure I don't think
Hobbs,
he can.
I think we've all, without Asante Samuel, slated in Ellis Hobbs for one of them.
Right.
But I think the other one's up for grabs.
Especially if Gay is hurt and Scott is gone, I'm starting to think Merriweather's next in line.
But see, to me, it's definitely up for grabs, Fred, but to me he would be third in line. Because as bad as you guys said James was, I still think that they would
be
his
experience. It would be a Dwayne Stark situation where you would have to try Torrey James first and then move Ellis Hobbs in like they did with Starks midway through the season if it didn't work. I agree with Paul on that.
All right.
I mean, James has made some plays. I mean, he hasn't been Starks.
No.
You know, he may have made the best defensive play that we've seen in camp on that bomb that Brady overthrew Gaffney on. First of all, he had him blanketed all the way, and then he really closed on the ball. You see why he has so many interceptions, because Tom mentioned with James Sanders and the ball skills, you could see the opposite.
He
with
does
James.
Have ball skills.
That ball was in the air, and he closed on it quickly and made a terrific over-the-shoulder catch.
And he's a big guy. He's got long arms. You can see how he can make a lot of plays on the football.
He's the biggest guy in the
division. Well, we might as well
that
keep
didn't
going.
Help him with Randy Moss in the end zone last night.
We might as well keep going with the camp competitions before we get to the emails. Punter, any chance that Josh Miller gets beaten out by either Danny Bogger or Tom Malone?
Not by Tom Malone.
Your thoughts.
Yeah, well, this is the Eric segment of the show.
Well, Malone has, we've all agreed Malone has struggled every day in camp. He's had a couple of good punts, but, I mean.
He's inconsistent.
He's really inconsistent.
Yeah. He's going to be the first cut.
Yeah.
There's no other way to say it.
Absolutely.
He's here a week longer than I thought.
He needs to get lost.
Bogger has the potential. Bogger still has a chance to really compete with Miller and possibly even win the job. But, again, it's way too early to tell because they've only been doing a few situational things with those guys. And, you know, Miller took the first day off of camp and then has since been getting back in the rotation.
Yeah.
And he's struggled a little bit with his consistency, but for the most part, he looks like he's back and is ready to compete. So
Bogger talks a big game, I'll say that. You see the quotes he had this morning, and I don't know, one of the papers had kind of a look at that punting competition. He flat out, I think he was asked if he could, you know, could see himself pushing Josh Miller.
Sure.
Miller, very matter of fact. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
As he should.
Well, you know, sometimes, you know, the young guys that haven't done anything, well, you know, look, this is an opportunity. I'm trying to make the most of it.
He's been here a year. He went to Europe. This is the next step. If you're going to be a guy, try to win this job right now.
But I think Eric is right because it's going to come down. We can talk about these practices all we want, but from what we were told kind of behind the scenes last year, how they kicked in practice wasn't the issue. It was what they did when the spotlight came on. And the spotlight for Bogger is going to happen in preseason games.
Yeah.
He's going to have to kick the ball the way he did in Europe, you know, over here in the first couple of preseason games
over here.
To have any chance at all. I agree with Tom and Andy. I think it's a very slim chance, if at all. I think they, you know, Bill loves to have the veteran experience at those skilled guys.
I think it's interesting, though, like, you know, we have heard these things about Bogger that, you know, when the spotlight's on, how is he going to react? I think both guys are a little questionable in the head.
I think Josh Miller is absolutely. I think
as yippy as anyone.
Because we love him so much, because he's a really good guy.
Phenomenal.
And he's a great guy to talk to. I think that we often overlook the fact that he has had bouts of bad inconsistency.
But are they all that way? Is that just the nature? I'll ask Eric, because he's kind of an expert on this subject.
Oh, Todd Sauerbrunn never
actually, I won't ask Eric, because you're as confident as they come, even though you never played. But, like, remember Ken Walter? Remember what he said?
Ken Walter couldn't play.
But remember what his first thought was when he's holding for Adam Vinatieri's game-winning Super
Bowl? Don't
drop it. I don't want to
miss this. I'm going to be the next Bill Buckner. What the hell are you thinking that for?
Maybe Tony Romo should have been thinking that.
But I just – is a natural yippiness or, you know, questioning yourself, is that part of being one of those –
Flaky specialists.
Yeah. They a little weird.
I think it's all up in the head.
Are they a little weird? Look who I'm sitting next to.
He points to Eric.
I will tell you this though: when a player, when a kicker or a punter gets in a funk, it really does go to their head quickly, and it's tough to get out of that funk.
Is that how it unraveled on you?
I saw.
Imagine when the funk comes on the practice field.
Were you at that game?
What happened to the back thing? Is this all that happened?
Were you at the game where Pat O'Neill just self-destructed?
Oh, Carolina.
Oh my
it was
God.
Against Carolina in their expansion year in an overtime game. He had like a 20-yard punt.
Oh my God. Not just one. My God.
It was almost like Parcells felt
actually
bad.
Went 30, Paul, because he was 10 yards behind the line of scrimmage.
That's true. He was so bad in that game, and the handwriting was on the wall. You knew the guy was going to get let go, and he was a talented kid.
Knew
he was going to get let go. Parcells almost felt bad. It was so he unraveled so badly in front of 60,000 people that.
And then he stood in front of his locker and answered
every question. Yeah, I remember that.
Gostkowski, no competition in camp this year for him. Has he justified that?
Absolutely.
Yeah, he's been doing well.
Absolutely.
I think he justified it last year.
But even Vinatieri, they brought in people.
Occasionally, not every year.
Yeah.
Occasionally they brought in guys, but I think he had a solid rookie year. There's no reason to think you need anybody to push him.
We've had five days to play with his head like that.
5 days of camp. I think he's had 3 days where in the team field goal session where they do 8 kicks at the end of practice, he's made 8 of 8, I think 3 times.
3 good, 2 bad. That's what I'd say for his days.
Yeah, 3 good and 2 where he was like 6 of 8 or something like that.
And then he had the kickoff out of bounds.
But
hasn't been perfect.
They've also been really short kicks. He hasn't had a lot. I think they've gone to 42 yards when they've done, you know, the days that I've watched.
Right.
They go back and forth from hash marks, left hash, right hash, left back, and they go 5 yard increments back. I think they've gone out to about 42 yards. So they haven't really had any long range stuff. And he had one day where he missed 3 inside of 42 yards. That's a lot of misses. I don't worry about him in the least.
Since we're talking about special teams, one guy's kind of sticking out to me a little bit in practice is Willie Andrews.
Oh, yeah.
He seems like he's becoming that new special teams ace.
I like him.
Reserve defensive back, made a couple nice plays on the ball last night. Definitely, there's a place here for him, regardless of how much time he's
the new Gerard Cherry. he's going to have a 10-12 year career in this league, mm-hmm. and he may never.
But maybe ever, more because he can return.
Yeah, but he may never play a significant role on defense. Right. Is my point. He might. He might develop into something like that. But he's going to be like one of those Larry Wiggum, Gerard Cherry guys that is going to carve out a nice career for himself just playing in coverage. Mm-hmm.
There's a Pulse story. Yeah.
Tight ends. Kyle Brady looked like he had good hands in minicamp, but we see now that. Reason why he probably doesn't catch a lot of balls is he's pretty slow.
Oh, man.
Who's this? There either.
Kyle Brady.
They haven't developed a word for him coming out of his breaks. Oh, God almighty. We were watching him that one day coming out of his breaks. That drill where the linebackers can never cover anybody, when Brady comes out, they're just standing there waiting for the ball. It's
even Brewski.
Yeah. He is definitely slow coming out of his breaks, and that's the reason probably why he's not.
And the only reason he's going to only way he's going to catch balls this year is when he's uncovered.
Yes. Or in the red zone where he right. can.
I mean, or because he's head of Matt Kranchuk on the depth chart.
I could envision him catching a couple of touchdowns in that little, you know, first and goal
right.
from the one.
Let's
be honest. They
throw to,
instead
of just
tackles.
Running it in like every other team does on first down, they get Brady
right.
the touchdown pass by giving
that.
The play
But they
action.
Also, they throw to real tackles, never mind a would-be tackle. I mean, right. he's got a chance to catch a couple touchdowns.
I think he'll catch, you know, maybe three
But
touchdowns.
He has not been practicing for it.
So the, oh, really?
Yeah, he hasn't been out there.
Yeah, he hasn't practiced really since Saturday.
Watson and Kranchuk have been the only tight ends out there for the last few
days. Well, you know, the reason why I bring up Brady is because, you know, we talked about, oh, they've got this great depth at tight end now, even with Graham gone. They've got Dave Thomas, who can catch the ball. They've got Kyle
Three
Brady. And they got Watson. Yeah, Dave Thomas is still coming back from
He's
his foot.
Yeah.
I don't think they have as much depth at tight end as they did last year.
Yeah.
Do you? I mean, would you rather have Watson, Graham, and Thomas than Watson, Brady, and Thomas?
Yeah, because Graham was two people.
Well, I think now, even if Graham, not Graham, if Watson, Brady, and Thomas were all healthy, I think we see that it's really one guy who can do a lot of things in Watson. Thomas, who we know he can catch the ball, but he hasn't yet done it a lot.
Right.
And Brady, who's really a blocker. So
right.
it's kind of a special, you know,
you
a
have two guys
core.
Filling the Graham role because he could do both.
Exactly.
He could be your tackle, or
exactly.
he could go out and be the athletic pass
right.
catcher.
And even though he wasn't,
now you have two bodies.
Even though he wasn't the most consistent receiver, he was a guy that defenses had to be aware right. of because he could do it. He
right.
showed enough signs that he could
and
hurt.
And you're
you.
More predictable now, depending on who's on the field. It's
could
a
you
little
imagine,
more obvious.
Can you remember that tight end screen they ran in Atlanta 2 years ago where he jumped over Stephen Neal and?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, one of the best plays of the last 3 or 4 years.
Can
you imagine Kyle Brady on that play?
Oh. No.
You could have a stopwatch going.
You're running that.
It's
been a 6-yard loss.
Running that play, you have a better chance of Brady leading the way for Neal.
Because
Neal's way more athletic than Kyle Brady.
I can see Kyle Brady kicking Neal out of the way.
Stephen Neal.
Yeah,
but if that happens again, he needs to lateral it to Stephen Neal.
But even if there was no one on that side of the field, it was kind of like the Antoine Smith screen in Tennessee on the Monday night game. There was no one over there, and you were just waiting for someone to catch him because he's so
Antoine Smith.
Let me ask you, is Christian Fourier available?
No, he signed with...
I thought they cut him.
He signed?
Yeah.
He signed with somebody?
Yeah.
I thought he was retired. I was trying to get him for our Sunday morning show.
No. Didn't he hook up with another team?
Well, last year he was with Washington.
Was with Washington, yeah. Well, the year before.
But
and then they cut
but
him?
I think he's gone.
Yeah, they cut him.
Okay.
I'm just looking for him, Walter Rasby, possible names we could be seeing by
Walter Rasby
by the end of
Fred
the week.
Fred Baxter, is he still around
to add some depth at tight end?
No,
here.
Cutting
well,
hair. And
Tom is right. That's kind of what I'm writing for my for one of my stories for the web is, you know, you have to have some guys to take reps, and right now they've had now 4 practices with 2 guys, and one of those 2 guys is Matt Kranchuk. We've seen
Nick Kazier
operating as a pseudo H-back type. There was another lineman.
Probably Oldenburg. I haven't paid attention, but
you know,
yeah, probably.
So they need some maybe a guy like Walter Rasby just
there.
To come in. Probably wouldn't be him because I don't think he'd
offensive line. Lights in, Neal's in, Copen's in, Mankins is in. Who's got the right tackle?
O'Callahan right now.
You think he's got it over Kazier?
He's dead heat. In my opinion,
dead heat. But I think O'Callahan has more of an upside, so I think that'll give him the edge in the end.
Yeah, I'm not even going to pretend to tell you who I think has more of an upside.
I'm going with he has more of an upside right now because he's running with the ones.
Well,
I'll change
that's
it tomorrow.
The thing.
I think that's pretty much been split. That's why I say it's
well, I already
heat.
Know what Kazier can do, and it's nothing great.
Well, I noticed when they let the Scrubs play their little JV game, and then they brought
just so you know,
Kazier stayed with them.
In the update yesterday, I called them the experienced players and the less experienced players because I didn't want to use a word like scrubs. But apparently that's okay. With
when you're in charge, you can throw that kind of terminology around.
It was the halftime
although,
Pop Warner game.
Although Andy didn't mind ripping Larry Anam a new one on the web. poor Larry and Nam. If there's a more unimpressive player out there, I haven't seen him.
Yeah, he struggled a bit. What, do you want to talk about him, Eric? He's, you know, your surprise roster.
Yeah, dark horse. I didn't say he was going to make the team. I just say he's a dark horse possibility. That's all. But he did. He struggled.
The darkest of horses right now.
No.
Malone. He's one ahead of Malone, I think.
Yeah, probably a little bit. But, yeah, they were both.
He's 79th on the roster or whatever at this point. That's good.
He had two perfect opportunities to when they were doing the punt downing drill inside the five. And he completely missed.
And that's why I put him who's not, because I don't care if he gets beat by Randy Moss, because he's an undrafted free agent. That's going to happen.
Right.
But if you can't be a gunner in a drill and run down and down a punt, you're not going to be around for long. I mean, that's you got to make your bones doing
something
like that.
You even heard it from the crowd, I think, on those, too. Like, so, a couple of guys.
I mean, I saw a lot of those drills, and guys weren't even looking where their feet were.
Oh, remember that?
They're not even paying attention.
The first time they did that drill, Freddie, you and I were out. They were awful that day. It was very unpatriot-like.
Yeah.
They usually dominate and stuff like that.
You calling out the special teams coordinator?
Not at all.
Oh.
I think Brad Seeley's a tremendous coach.
Some of my best friends are Brad Seeley.
All right.
And not only I think he's a tremendous coach, I think more special teams coaches should become head coaches.
He knows it's all Frank Ganz's problem. Guy screwed it up for all of them. You know who Frank Ganz is?
No, Chiefs. I heard the name.
Kansas City Chiefs.
Oh, is that that idiot?
Special teams coach who took the job.
Doesn't he just throw something out there every once in a while and you're like, where'd you get that? Frank Ganz, not exactly a household name. How did you know that he was the coach of the Kansas City Chiefs?
I'm a football expert, Paul.
Because he was a special teams coach. The dork has loved kicking for 25 years.
All right, let's take a break. WebRadioPages.com. We'll be right back.
I need to go poopies.
Passionate rivalries, international soccer, the league's biggest stars, and your New England Revolution. It's a summer full of soccer at Gillette Stadium. Be there for the CONCACAF Gold Cup first-round doubleheader and quarterfinal tripleheader that includes the Revs and Columbus Crew, a rematch of the 2006 MLS Cup with the Houston Dynamo. And don't miss the LA Galaxy on August 12th when soccer icon and international superstar David Beckham makes his first trip ever to Foxborough. Taylor Twellman.
Oh, what a strike by Taylor Twellman.
Matt Reese.
Oh, what a save. Are you kidding me?
And the rest of the Revs are turning up the heat this summer, and you won't want to miss a minute of exciting soccer action at Gillette Stadium. Tickets for the Revolution start at just $18 and are on sale now. Call the Revolution ticket office at 1-877-GET-REVS. That's 1-877-GET-REVS to get your ticks, get your kicks, and get the Revolution.
I'm in a dryer trapped in the lint vent.
Right now, there are millions of coins out there that have been forgotten. Coins with real value.
I'm next to a French fry under the passenger seat.
Bank of America is doing something to end this senseless epidemic. It's called Keep the Change. Once you enroll, every purchase you make with your Bank of America Visa check card is rounded up to the next dollar, and the difference is transferred from your checking account to your savings.
I'm in an empty mayonnaise jar in the garage.
So the next time you spend $10.20 at the grocery store, you'll be doing your part to put 80 cents into your savings account. Please, give this change the opportunity to really add up.
I've been sitting on a record player needle since 1982.
Bank of America. Bank of Opportunity. Open a checking account and enroll in Keep the Change today.
Member FDIC, patent pending.
When you've got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down Franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
And we're back. PFW in progress. Andy, Tom, Eric, Paul, Fred, and Gary in the booth.
So we're going down and talking about the camp matchups. Stripper has a question. He's writing in. What's the gut feeling on Chad Jackson? Will he get on the field this year, go on IR, or be a bust?
Oh, boy.
He'll be on the field late in the season.
You think so?
Sure.
Now, wasn't there a rumor that
I'm going to say
done?
He's going to go on IR.
There's also a rumor floating around out there that...
Yeah, this is interesting.
Should the team place him on injured reserve, he will file a grievance with the league because he can play.
He says he's not hurt. That's a rumor. Now,
rumor.
I don't know if that he actually did say that or just someone is saying that he said that, but just something to consider.
Okay.
I think he's going to start on PUP and end up on IR, unless there's a rash of injuries at wide receiver.
Chad Jackson we're talking about. Your guy. What do you think of him this year? Think he'll get on the field?
It's going to be hard for him, especially if he doesn't practice much in training camp or at all. So probably PUP, I would imagine.
That's PUP, and then I say he plays. Somebody will be hurt by that time. Stallworth.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think he plays,
Moss.
Provided that one or two of the other guys gets hurt.
Brown.
And that's probably a good bet. Andy's right. It's probably a good bet that someone does get hurt.
All right. John writes in, by the way, the email address is webradio@patriots.com. If you want to email, we'll ask all our regular emails. No, I'm only kidding. I'm doing the Ted Sarandis thing.
I like that. For some
just
fresh
so you know, the Ted Sarandis references are like,
they're really
here now of being out of date completely. I mean, he's
really obscure,
right? In any way relevant.
Besides the fact,
I have
a lot
idea who he is.
A lot
I'm
of
not
going
to talk to a jerk like you.
Anyway.
Right. Let's see. John writes in. Let's just say and think Matt Castle has a great offseason and the offensive looks great with him as quarterback. In the offseason, either Atlanta, Seattle, or some other team wants to trade for Castle for a future QB or train as their future leader. What do you think the Pats might want to get as a good value for him? I think we should ask for a fourth to second round pick in the following year's draft, depending on how he plays for that team. So in the 09 draft, they would get the pick for Castle. What do you think?
At best, and this is the very best, if a team was really stupid, you'd get a fifth round pick.
Andy,
if Brady breaks his leg and Castle goes 6-2 as a starter, then
yeah, we're talking now. I don't know what's going to happen.
But then you're talking.
Yeah, no. Tom is assuming that he goes 16 games without playing again. But can
I think a fifth round pick is in the stratosphere. I don't think you can get anywhere near that.
That's Raiders.
Although you did get Brandon Gorn, I think you get fifth round pick for him.
More likely, you'd get a sixth round pick. I think
Brandon Gorn also started.
Yeah, but
this guy would never have played.
We've all seen Brandon Gorn play.
But can you help me out?
Boobs.
Going to be a restricted free agent, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So. Almost eliminates trade possibilities there. I mean, someone could just sign him if they want to.
Well, you could trade. I mean, you could do a trade thing.
You could do that. But, I mean, why would you, you know, like the Patriots did it with Wes Welker.
Be interesting to see what they tender him.
You could do that if you chose to. If a team wanted to, you know, give up maybe a little bit more to make sure that you get him. But I just think that you make an offer sheet to the guy.
But it'll be interesting to see if they tender him like they did with Gay. Where they kind of gave him a surprisingly high tender. It'd be interesting
to see if they might, because I think if you give the lowest one, you're almost certainly going to lose him.
Right.
And even if you don't think that he has that much value, you don't want to just lose him for nothing.
And you've invested time.
Yeah.
I'm not so sure teams in the league think as highly of Matt Castle as fans of
the
league.
Well, he'd have to show something.
I couldn't agree with you more on that, Tom.
Yeah. Dan writes in, my question is short and sweet. Who do you see having more sacks this season, Colvin, Vrabel, or Thomas?
We all
know these guys moved around the field a lot, so more so Thomas and Vrabel. But I would think that now that there are five solid linebackers starting the season healthy, at least one of them will be used primarily as the outside rusher. My guy says Colvin. Who do you think?
Well, Thomas may be playing inside.
I was going to say, Thomas may be wasted inside, so he'll probably get like two sacks.
Well, I mean, Vrabel will get five.
There was a couple of different questions there. I mean, who's going to be used primarily as an outside pass rusher? That will be Colvin, because he's the only one out of all of that group that's all he does.
Right.
I've never seen but I mean, I've seen Vrabel inside and out. I've seen Thomas inside and out. I've seen Bruschi inside and out. I've only seen Colvin outside.
Yeah.
That's all he's ever done. So... he's going to be a guy that's strictly an outside edge pass rusher.
So he's right. He's going to get 14 sacks.
Well, that's Tom and I's big bet. Tom's got him getting more than 10.
I would say it's between Thomas and Colvin because of opportunity and talent.
Yeah, talent.
Thomas won't need as many opportunities as Colvin to get the same kind of numbers.
Man, is he a big dude.
Oh, yeah.
I think the whole thing. I actually think I'm not feeling real good about my bet now after, you know, seeing the offense. You know, I think Tom's going to win that one. Luckily, we have the other one with Teddy Ginn that I feel pretty good about.
Never know, baby. Like I said, get one on opening day. I don't need two more.
Nothing gets by you.
But I just...
Probably got 15 games to get the two more, right?
I see the Patriots playing so many games from ahead. And, you know, like Cincinnati last year, when they played that game against the Bengals, for three quarters it was a nip-and-tuck game. It was like 14-13 or something like that after three quarters. Patriots had nothing resembling any pressure on Carson Palmer for three quarters. All of a sudden, they scored a couple of quick touchdowns in the fourth quarter, and you would have thought Jarvis Green was shot out of a cannon the rest of the game. I think they sacked Palmer five times in the fourth quarter.
Right.
I can see that happening a lot, and I think Colvin's one of those guys that's going to reap the benefits.
Dave has a quick question. Will Fork or Warren, who could you only – if you only could sign one, who would it be, and which do you think is
Will
more
Fork.
Important?
Will Fork or Warren?
Yeah.
Will Fork.
I would go Will Fork, even though I think Warren might be a slightly better player. I think Will Fork's skill at the position that he plays is harder to find.
You know, I just looking a little bit because, you know, when they do the drills, the defensive linemen kind of go off in the corner there. Mm-hmm. But I was watching through the binoculars a little bit of the man-on-man stuff that they were doing. I tell you, Warren looks good. You know? Warren looks good.
I don't know if you know.
Save that one, right?
I think it'll
I think now that you know you have that good year, and all of a sudden you just get it.
I think it could
he
be a Pro Bowler.
Well, I think he just got it last year. Now it's coming easy.
That's
to
why
him.
I think this could be an interesting year because if he takes even another step up, now you're talking about having Seymour and Warren almost as equals. Kind that'll be scary.
Yeah.
But these guys
Anyway, all three make the Pro Bowl.
It's much harder to get a nose tackle than it is a
well, that's why I'm saying. That's why I'm saying it's not. I think Warren might be a better flat-out player.
But they might, they might hold that position more and
but,
want Will
But the drop-off between Warren and I think, Andy, you might think, made this comparison a couple of weeks ago.
Probably.
We were talking
Is it good?
Remember we were talking about spreading money around at different positions. I think it might have been the show that you and I did by ourselves when everybody was on vacation.
Eric was on vacation?
As a shock.
Yeah, can't imagine where he must have been. But, you know, I think the drop-off between Warren and whoever may, you know, whether it be a Mike Wright or whoever might take that spot, Jarvis Green, is not as big as Will Fork and whoever plays nose. Because they just don't have a guy that can replicate that.
Unless it's Mean Kenny Smith, or what's his nickname?
Big Smith.
Big Smith.
And he did, you know, just to give a little foreshadowing, a little preview, he has actually met
Kenny the other
Smith,
Kenny Smith,
the point guard.
And he's not the one that brought the scandal down on Alabama either, even though he did go to Alabama. That wasn't me.
Let's see. Stan is from the Arizona Pats fan club. They've got a very big club out in Arizona. They meet at the Vine Tavern. Very long email, but I'll only get to a couple things. One thing is he's very interested that we interview Ken Flanders because he's got some questions he needs to ask him. In addition, he'd like the Pro Shop to offer some lap blankets.
Well, I thought he was going lap dances.
Okay, I don't know what a lap blanket is. I thought it was just a blanket you fold it up and put in your lap.
Isn't that
probably
just a blanket?
So why are they called lap blankets?
Well, I don't know.
Is it smaller? Is it like those throws that aren't quite as big?
Yeah, Tom used to use them when he had the lap dance.
You don't want a big, huge, like, you know, comforter to bring to a football.
So a smaller blanket.
Game. Yeah, you know, you just put it on your lap.
Everything's smaller in the Pro Shop, including those piss-poor towels.
I hope it's Flanders.
Okay. He also wants to know, there is also some mysterious lifelong buddy who watches film or something for Bill. Who is this guy, and what is it that he actually does?
Ernie Adams. No one knows.
No, Ernie Adams.
In an awful lot. Just, man.
Oh, yeah. Ernie Adams went to high school, basically, over in Andover with Bill. He's known him all his life. And Ernie Adams you know, he's like Bill. He's got one of those minds like a steel trap.
And he has a resume. He's not just Bill's buddy. He was actually here in like 83 or like he was on that staff. He's been all through football.
He was here in the
70s, whenever. Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
But it's not just like he's Bill's friend that when he got the job here, he brought on board. The guy has been in the league for the last 30 years.
He's definitely an asset. He's a weapon.
He's a research guy. You know, I don't even know. He might even have a title, a
research director, I think.
Some sort of thing like that. But he is the absolute guy. I mean, the guy, the guru when it comes to every possible situation that comes up in a game. You know, down and distance, clock management, timeouts, inbounds, out of bounds, everything, every scenario that you could possibly come up with in a game. Ernie Adams is Bill's guru when it comes to
sounds
that
like
stuff.
Like a feature story.
And, well, if we ever had any access, it would be a great feature story.
Sure, go ahead. Eric's got the media guide open.
Brief bio here. Ernie Adams returned to the Patriots staff when he was appointed football research director by Bill Belichick, April 25th, 2000. His responsibilities include researching special assignments.
Boring!
Thank you.
For both the coaching staff, personnel department. Yeah, 4 seasons at Northwestern, 72 to 75.
We just wanted to know his title.
Entered the NFL ranks with the Patriots under Chuck Fairbanks in 75.
See? It's all back to Chuck Fairbanks.
It
guy's
really
a genius.
Is.
Put him in the Hall of Fame.
You do know this defense is Chuck Fairbanks.
Yes.
Giants.
Actually, it's Bud Wilkerson's, whatever his name is.
Right. From Oklahoma.
Giants in 79. I think that's when Bill went to the Giants,
yep.
Right? 82. Promoted to director of pro personnel. So, yeah.
He knows the game. And you'll see him on Sundays if you ever see the field before they start playing. He'll stand there and just watch the other team warm up.
You'll see him out here at practice doing it. And it makes the players uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's this guy watching me over my shoulder.
He just knows things.
And, but no one knows who he is. I mean, even players they know he's there.
Know
they know
he
he's Bill's guy and part of the team. But it's not like they're behind closed doors, Ernie Adams is shooting the poo with them. No one knows really what he is.
He's a different sort of guy. He's not wired really the same as you and me. He's just football 24/7.
Is that the guy that wears the cool coats on the road?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. If by cool you mean the same coat he wore in 1979 when he was here. Yeah.
He jumped up several notches for me and Fred at the Hall of Fame meeting when he spoke on behalf of a couple of different guys that were nominated.
He stood up and started giving us some stuff that
Leon
was like,
Gray
oh,
and Stanley Morgan
stuff
was just really good stuff. I mean, you could just sit there and listen to this guy talk football. Unfortunately, Tom, you brought it up. It sounds like a great feature story. It does.
I've never heard him speak.
Unfortunately, we'll never
what
get
about
it.
Leon Gray? Is he? Should he really be considered for the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, he's
he will
a guy
be
that,
at some point.
He's a guy that should be considered. Yeah,
you're talking about Gray,
name thrown around, talked about in the room there.
He was nominated at the Hall of Fame meeting. Yeah, as quiet as that's supposed to have been kept.
Fred blew the lid on that.
He's quoting guys.
It was Ernie Adams.
Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. John writes in. I want to thank you for providing great coverage all year. Someday I'll join the lunch lottery, too. Great gig you have there, getting people to compete to get you lunch. Remember, next week you don't have to.
Yeah,
but
we got
after
a spot
the 15th,
open. We got a spot open in the middle of September.
After the 15th, you got to
we're
start.
Booking through October right now.
Yeah. Tom, I've had the sleep apnea machine for almost 2 years, and eventually it will make a big difference for you. Look at it this way. Since you've been sleeping like crap for God knows how long, you won't get your energy back overnight.
Tom
it takes
Ashworth.
Time, but I'm happy to hear you're on the road to taking care of the issue.
Well, I should probably give you an update on that, Fred.
Yeah.
My big Italian nose, they didn't figure that in, so the thing is actually too tight, and it's causing migraines. So I have to go get it because it's just
drama.
It's for a normal person. Well, what am I supposed to do? They didn't make it right. They didn't. I mean, I only went to 8 sleep clinics. Do you think they would have said, "Hey, that guy's got a big nose"?
At some point, they would have said, "Hey, he kind of looks like Danny DeVito in Batman when he played the Penguin."
So we're still waiting because I got to get a new one on Monday. I got to go get it sized,
getting refit.
Yeah, one of those extra large nose ones, I guess.
Geez. As long as you have it by Carolina, we'll be fine.
Let's see. Since this is not supposed to be some sappy men's health show, I'll tie apnea into football. If you recall, apnea is recognized as a key contributing factor in Reggie White's fatal heart attack. I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. It's also the official cause of death for Jerry Garcia, which really clarifies things for me because I have no idea what else would have killed the health nut. I became interested in the topic due to my situation. I actually sent a letter to the Pats about the subject. I never heard back from them, but I would be curious or whether the team has addressed the issue. I've zero doubt that some of the bigger guys in the team will have this condition.
The guy actually who came to get me set up said he does a lot of the Patriots, that company.
Really?
A lot of the bigger linemen have these masks. So.
Wow. Okay.
And Andy talked to
I might just get one just to get it. Is it good?
Just so you can be cool.
Listen,
yeah. You're not cool. That's
you
the
do
new
not,
thing.
You do not want to sleep with that thing if you don't have to. Trust me.
No. Brian Barthelme's quote was, "I hate it. It works, but I hate it. I look like the Elephant Man."
Well,
you don't
want to
wear a mask to bed.
But it's not.
Why would you
want
to wear
either.
A mask to bed? You're supposed to be nice and relaxed and free when you go to bed, not tied
and
to some stupid thing.
There's air blowing into you. It's not like it's the most comfortable thing in the world.
And then finally, up until now, I hadn't read why Justice Hairston was cut.
Diabetes.
We know that Justice Hairston was cut because of a procedural issue, and he's now been placed on IR.
I don't really know. I'm not going to pretend I do.
I'm going to write that exact, basically what Fred just said, that's what I'm writing in the update, because I don't know anything else to speculate. Just using that because that's what Bill said. procedural.
Well, do you think it was he was hurt, they cut him, and then he said, you know what, you cut me because I'm hurt, and then rather than get into an injury settlement, they put him on IR?
I don't think it had anything to do with any kind of grievance situation. I think there's something about rookies. I don't know. Maybe before you can put a guy on IR, maybe he has to clear waivers or something as a
rookie.
Is
this to avoid supposedly teams cheating by putting rookies on IR?
So you can't.
You got to put them on waivers so that another team can claim them or something?
Maybe. Yeah, maybe. Bill did say it was for the competitive balance of the league.
So it's probably so teams don't put five rookies on IR just to keep them for a year.
That was one phrase that he used.
Okay, well, that gives you a hint there.
And if you claim them, you probably can't put them on IR.
Yeah. So maybe when it's a rookie, you can't just have the guy
hide
get hurt.
But I don't remember the specific release saying
Shelton did. We did not get the day Shelton
he was put on IR.
He was just put because remember I started laughing and I said to you, I said, "Does he get paid?"
Right.
And you said, "Yeah." And then I came up with my whole theory how everybody like Matt Shelton should do that.
Well, maybe they never announced that
but
he had been
I think
cut,
that's what it
or
is.
Or maybe they got in trouble for that.
It's like active PUP. Yeah. We didn't learn about that until they had been doing it for like 3 years,
right?
Because we didn't know the way the exact rule worked. This might be another one where Shelton was actually released. Cleared waivers and then was placed on IR.
That's what I'm thinking.
And we never heard about
right.
Right.
It's a specific.
That makes sense.
If we had access to the actual wire that scrolled, you'd probably see one day cut, one day, you know, all these technical things. That
or like I said,
Bill
maybe
gets.
They didn't do it right and they got slapped and now they're doing it right.
I don't know if Bill was exaggerating to make the point, but he did say that, you know, there are times that we actually call the league office to make sure we're doing it right.
Right.
So when Bill We Trust is really in the league we trust.
Well, you know, and I'll bet you, you know, something along the lines happened in the past where they actually did call, asked if they were doing it right, were told they were doing it right, and then found out later it wasn't right. You know,
the geniuses at the league?
Exactly. Ravi.
I was waiting for a genius in there somewhere, the experts, a couple times in today's press conference.
He was awfully serious about the league today. I didn't like that. I like the way he takes the little shots.
They slapped him around a little bit.
Ravi from Indy writes in, great job on the offseason coverage so far. I know everyone's going to be asking about training camp, but I got a different question. What is the Patriots' salary cap situation? How much room do they have with or without Asante? He may even be signed by this time. Also, if the Patriots are significantly under the cap, can they trade away part of their cap to other teams like they do in the NBA? I know the Phoenix Suns gave away draft picks to other teams so they could get more cap room. Is this possible in the NFL?
No. You can't, you know, trade cap space. No.
Except with yourself, basically, when you can push it off.
Yeah, you can push it off to the next year so you can better utilize the space, whatever is going on.
Let's see. Alejandro writes in, congratulations to Tom. I have two questions concerning referees. How much in advance do teams know which crew would be officiating their games? And do teams scout referees in order to know, say, their threshold for contact, for example?
Yes.
And one quick one. Which are the must-see teams in college football this season? Is it one from the SEC?
Is there one from the SEC?
There always
is. How about the SEC? Yeah. Take out Mississippi State.
Yeah, there's always a team in the SEC worth following, and there's usually five.
Yeah, and even teams like Vanderbilt and Kentucky this year are right on the cusp of those minor bowl games, you know, because they have 72
Florida
of them.
Florida stacked again, right?
Yeah, Florida
say, hello,
stacked.
National
the girl Tim Tebow's with
LSU is considered the preseason favorite.
USC will be, I mean, not an SEC team, but USC will be very strong again with Pete the Poodle.
And they got a lot of guys returning, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Pete Carroll will have his best defense ever at USC.
Oh, yeah, those linebackers.
Can you believe it? It's football time.
So here we go. They got safeties, both two potential first-round draft picks at safety. That defense will be scary for USC.
Well, you know, earlier we were talking about Merriweather, and that's a good point, the whole thing with safety. And I think that a lot of college, and I don't know exactly the reason why it is, and we've seen some stories about it, but I think a lot of teams are kind of taking their best guys now in college and then putting them at safety and then having them do a lot of different things. I don't know necessarily if that – I'm not saying that that's a fact. I'm not saying that that's the right thing to do. Maybe Bill laughs at that. I don't know. But I think that we've seen kind of a trend. How many of these first-round safeties have we seen over the last 5 years, guys in the top 10? We never saw safety. We never saw Michael Huffs and Sean Taylors and LaRon Landry.
Right.
We never saw guys getting taken in the top 10 on a consistent basis now.
It's
so
almost like they're like now the new middle linebacker passing era.
A lot of colleges run that 3-5-3 hybrid thing where there's only three defensive backs. There's an extra guy who's a whatever they call him, a rover or something, and he's a linebacker. He's a safety. He's a jack of all trades, and they just take these great athletes that have the size, speed, athletic ability to do all that.
And who was the one? Was it the guys at LSU that were talking about they take the, you know, No, Texas. It was the guys at Texas that said what they do is they take the two cornerbacks and then they take three and four, and instead of having them be backup cornerbacks, they make them safeties.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So they can all play these, because they're basically right. Your four best players.
Right.
Four best secondary players. I think
Larry Nemers
Texas.
Agrees. Defensive backs are the best players on the field.
Best athletes on the field.
All right. Yeah, that's another thing I want to talk about when we get back from this break is some of the new rule changes.
Passionate rivalries, international soccer, the league's biggest stars, and your New England Revolution. It's a summer full of soccer at Gillette Stadium. Be there for the CONCACAF Gold Cup first-round doubleheader and quarterfinal tripleheader that includes the Revs and Columbus Crew, a rematch of the 2006 MLS Cup with the Houston Dynamo. And don't miss the LA Galaxy on August 12th when soccer icon and international superstar David Beckham makes his first trip ever to Foxborough. Taylor Twellman.
Oh, what a strike by Taylor Twellman.
Matt Reese.
Oh, what a save. Are you kidding me?
And the rest of the Revs are turning up the heat this summer, and you won't want to miss a minute of exciting soccer action at Gillette Stadium. Tickets for the Revolution start at just $18 and are on sale now. Call the Revolution ticket office at 1-877-GET-REVS. That's 1-877-GET-REVS to get your ticks, get your kicks, and get the Revolution.
I'm in a dryer, trapped in the lint vent.
Right now, there are millions of coins out there that have been forgotten. Coins with real value.
I'm next to a French fry under the passenger seat.
Bank of America is doing something to end this senseless epidemic. It's called Keep the Change. Once you enroll, every purchase you make with your Bank of America Visa check card is rounded up to the next dollar, and the difference is transferred from your checking account to your savings.
I'm in an empty mayonnaise jar in the garage.
So the next time you spend $10.20 at the grocery store, you'll be doing your part to put 80 cents into your savings account. Please, give this change the opportunity to really add up.
I've been sitting on a record player needle since 1982.
Bank of America. Bank of Opportunity. Open a checking account and enroll in Keep the Change today.
Member FDIC, patent pending.
When you got a lineman-sized hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sackatack sausages, first down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sackatack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down Franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday. Passionate rivalries, international soccer, the league's biggest stars, and your New England Revolution. It's a summer full of soccer at Gillette Stadium. Be there for the CONCACAF Gold Cup first-round doubleheader and quarterfinal tripleheader that includes the Revs and Columbus Crew, a rematch of the 2006 MLS Cup with the Houston Dynamo. And don't miss the LA Galaxy on August 12th when soccer icon and international superstar David Beckham makes his first trip ever to Foxborough. Taylor Twellman.
Oh, what a strike by Taylor Twellman.
Matt Reese.
Oh, what a save. Are you kidding me?
And the rest of the Revs are turning up the heat this summer, and you won't want to miss a minute of exciting soccer action at Gillette Stadium. Tickets for the Revolution start at just $18 and are on sale now. Call the Revolution ticket office at 1-877-GET-REVS. That's 1-877-GET-REVS to get your ticks, get your kicks, and get the Revolution.
Anything's possible with Commander Cuckoo Bananas in charge.
All right, back here, webradio@patriots.com is the email address, webradio@patriots.com. Before we went to the break, I mentioned the refs and rule changes. They were here at Gillette Stadium yesterday to talk about them. Guys, I know you wrote about it on the web yesterday, you know, what those rule changes are. What do you think? Anything, you know, now that Bill Polian's won a Super Bowl, there aren't any big rule changes because he's got things the way he wants it, but
I think there is one change that's going to be messy.
The end zone one is the big
one. Is they've changed the plane of the end zone does no longer goes all the way around the world.
Yeah, I was wondering
the pylon.
That now.
One of the dumbest things
explain
I've ever heard.
Now. Explain how it has been and now what's changed.
You used to be able to, when you cross the plane of the goal line going across the field, that plane, if you crossed it out of bounds but got anything inside or touched the pylon, your hand, your foot, your toe, anything, even if the ball was in your outside arm, that was a touchdown. Now you have to get the ball to cross the plane, touch, or go over the top of the pylon, which, as the official said, you're going to have more people diving for the pylon, which, if there's a defender there, sets up the potential for a loose ball and a lot of calls for the officials to make whether the ball is knocked out of bounds, whether it hit the pylon,
right,
whether it went out of the end zone.
Right.
And you could have potential, is it first and goal from the 1-inch line, or is it first and 10 from the 20 going the other way?
Now, why don't they simply say you have to establish something on the ground before it can be a touchdown? You know, for example, if you go flying out of bounds and you're not pushed, I mean, you're out of bounds. And you're not in bounds until 2 feet touch or something touch, an elbow, a bat, you know, your butt, whatever. And the play's not dead until something touches, you know, your hand, your whatever, except for a hand. Why isn't that something has to touch the end zone for it to be a touchdown?
Well, now it does. The ball has to
It just has to cross the plane.
Oh, you mean
literally
the old-fashioned touchdown,
ground.
You got to touch the ball down?
Well, not touch, but
that was an original touchdown, right?
No,
in
as
like
soon as you
1800s?
Shoulder whatever it
you
was.
You had to touch the ball down. That's why it was called a touchdown.
I don't know, Andy. I wasn't around.
You know, whatever it is.
Tufts University played the first ever football
game. You know, the same way that a play is
screw
dead
you,
when
Princeton.
Something touches. It's not just the football. It's whatever it is, your shoulder, whatever.
But if you break the plane, say, of the 40-yard line, and the 40-yard line was the yard to make for a first down, that's a first down. You don't have to touch down on the 40-yard
line.
No,
but your body is on the ground. You know what I'm saying?
But not necessarily. You could be up in the air and get the ball could break the plane of that line.
Right.
And then you get pushed back, and you're on the ground at the 35. But you get the yard of progress is the 40.
But at some point, they judge the line of scrimmage
now
where the ball was, not where your body was.
Right, and that's what they're doing
with
the goal line.
But with
the
goal
the
line,
is.
But with the goal line, you could be out of bounds with the ball just breaking the plane, and that's a touchdown now.
Well,
right?
No, because you're not out of bounds. Because if you touch out of bounds, then you're out of bounds.
If you touch out of bounds,
I'm talking about flying through the air.
No, yeah, if the ball's out of bounds, it's not a touchdown, right?
It's the same thing in the regular player field.
It's where the ball
field of play, I should say. If you fly out of bounds and you leave at the 35. But you're going forward. It's where the ball breaks the plane
goes
out of bounds.
And it's the same thing.
Yeah, but if you're, let's just say that you die for a ball to catch it.
There we go.
If you don't establish something in bounds, you're out of bounds.
But that's because you never were in bounds with the ball.
It's the same way in the
saying.
End zone.
You were never in
and
the end zone with
the
ball.
And you're not going to be allowed to do that now. If you die for a pass and you're going out of bounds and you don't establish your 2 feet in bounds, that's
you're out of bounds.
What if you're running and jump?
Oh, God.
You're in bounds.
Yeah, but you never establish yourself in the end zone.
I think this is a good rule change, and I was kind of surprised. The whole plane of the goal line is infinite. It was one of the dumbest things
terrible.
I've ever heard explained to me yesterday. By
I think it's a great change, but I think it's going to lead to a lot of replays where you're going to say, now did the nose of the ball touch out of bounds before the laces hit the pylon, and I think there's no cameras there, as we know.
Right, it does make it harder on the refs.
Well, I don't think it makes it harder on the refs. I think that there's going to be some calls that they're going to have to go to replay
only on loose balls
to see where the ball.
Because now the guy has to get the ball. It's not. I think that part is easier on the refs. The hard part is if there's a confusion of a loose ball.
And Fred, even now, if in the middle of the field, if a running back just sticks his arm, over
forward.
Right,
and the nose of the ball goes over. The runner hasn't established himself in the end zone, but
that's
the ball
a touchdown.
Is. Right.
That's
it's always been that way.
Right. But now
it's
the
same way in the play of field.
Same way everywhere.
Because, like, on the 35-yard line, if the guy is diving and the ball goes out of bounds, if it goes out of bounds on 35, it doesn't matter if he landed on the 40.
Understand.
He's going back to the 35.
My point is that I think they should treat the end zone as apart from the playing field. The playing field is 100 yards. Then you have the end zone. And I think you need to – well – I don't think you need to, because I know you don't, but I think it should be that you need to establish yourself in the end zone.
Why do you need to do it different for the end zone than any other place in the field? I don't understand.
That'll take
that.
Away a lot of touchdowns that way. For
so you're saying if a guy dives over
I'm
the pile.
I'm just going to use that as
if a guy dives over the pile at the 50-yard line trying to get a first down, and the linebacker knocks him back,
right.
But he crossed the line, that's a first down. But he does
but
the same thing on the goal line, it wouldn't be a touchdown?
Right.
I don't, right, because I don't agree with that.
It's a different playing field. You have to enter into the end zone.
I don't agree with that.
Well, that's not the rule, obviously.
I know that, but there's a lot of rules that I don't agree with, and that's not one of them that I don't agree with.
Okay.
If Fred were on the committee, he'd be one of those geniuses, quote-unquote, that Bill was talking about.
And you'd never score touchdowns in Fred's world.
7-3 games.
No, you'd have to get in there. None of these, you know.
Not only that, you could just knock them back out.
Okay. Not rule change. Well, yeah, was kind of a rule change.
There weren't a lot of rule changes.
More points of emphasis.
Points of emphasis.
Yeah. And
spiking the ball.
Spiking
the
ball is a 5-yard penalty in the playing
field. In the field of
play. But wasn't it always a penalty?
No.
No?
No.
They didn't.
Remember Corey Dillon threw the ball 35 yards.
Yeah.
You could spike it.
But I thought that's why we were saying it. It's like, look, why didn't they call a penalty on him?
No, they didn't.
He wasn't spiking it at a player.
Right. Yeah. You've always had taunting.
Yeah, but I think that's always, if you spiked at a foot of a player.
Well, that's taunting.
That's taunting.
Yeah, taunting.
Now you can't do it at all.
Now you can't do it at all.
No.
What Dillon did last year would be a penalty.
Penalty now, and wasn't last year by rule.
It's a 5-yard penalty by rule.
Okay, what else did they talk about?
Talked about pass interference, the illegal contact, how they're still watching for that. He said how he liked the NFL rule, even though Michael Felger made it clear that Mike Pereira likes the college rule, apparently.
Well, okay, so we talked about, you know, the whole pass interference, and we've debated that.
Paul and I were talking yesterday, like the questions will be asked by some of the reporters. Well, it could be a 60, 70-yard penalty. When's the last time someone got interfered with 70 yards down the field?
Can you think of one time there was a pass interference penalty that was over 50 yards?
I'm thinking that there was, but
I'm sure there was.
Sure there was.
I'm just asking you can you think of one.
What about Asante? How long was Asante Samuels?
That was
Denver
a pretty long one. It's at least 30, 40.
It's not 70.
No. That's a big difference. It's like twice as much.
No, I mean the guy would
pass protection on a 70-yard pass interference.
In order for there to be a 70-yard
offensive lineman
is going to
find
guy has
and
to
it'd
throw
also
it
be about three quarterbacks yards. That would be able to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're talking about if the guy rolls out right and then throws back
left
60 yards.
This
I said
that.
To Paul, they got a name for that guy. His name's John Elway. He retired. The only guy in the world who could do that, probably. So I just
talked about, you know, really trying to focus on the contact if it has a bearing on the play.
Right.
If they see maybe a little bit of something on the far side and then the ball, and they look up and the ball's being thrown on the near side, they're going to keep the flag in their pocket.
Right.
Right.
But they want to call it as strictly as they have been calling it in terms of holding. And I always love when they show the film, you know, and they show a defensive back and the shirt comes flying away from the body, and they say, this will be holding. I'm like, well, why would that ever have not have been holding?
Right. Definition.
You know, the guy's shirt almost came off his body. I mean, why would that what scenario was that not holding?
Yeah.
You know, but it's a point of emphasis.
But are they saying if you don't see that, it's not holding? I see that's equally stupid, I think. You know?
No, they're still going to call illegal contact, holding, all those things.
The only thing that would seem that they're trying to focus on is more relevant to the play.
Right. Ticky-tack ones on the backside.
Okay, so
I don't think they're opposed to ticky-tack calls. They're just opposed to ticky-tack calls
let's just say,
that don't have any bearing on
the play. What about on a play where, you know, quarterback looks left, guy's being held or interfered with, so he has to throw right.
That's illegal contact.
Are they going to enforce that?
Yes.
I hope.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. I think the way he explained it was if the quarterback is still in the pocket, they're going to enforce it.
Yeah.
If he rolls out of the pocket,
there's no illegal contact once the quarterback leaves the pocket.
Yeah.
That's legal. You can now bump a receiver quarterback.
Once he leaves the pocket? Really?
Yeah.
You know what? I didn't know that.
Another Mike Dowling.
Neither did Mike Dowling.
I didn't know you could bump the guy after he's rolled out of the
once
pocket.
Once the quarterback leaves the pocket, because now he potentially
he's
is
like
a runner.
Right. He's like a runner.
The quarterback has become a runner, and the guy that the defender is covering is a potential blocker.
Right.
So you can engage with him now.
Guy wants to change what a touchdown is, but doesn't know some of the other rules.
I don't like that.
Well, that's always been the way it is.
I mean, if the guy puts it down and starts running, okay, and crosses the line of scrimmage, obviously. But, I mean, if he rolls out and he's still looking downfield, he's looking to pass.
It has to be a legal hit. You can't just hold the guy.
Right.
That's not suddenly legal.
Right.
But with after 5 yards, you're allowed to hit the guy.
Right. You're allowed to make contact.
Otherwise, you can't possibly play corner in that situation.
Only penalty that comes off the board is illegal contact.
Right.
Which is basically any contact beyond 5 yards.
You need to be able to go through the receiver.
What about knock him down?
You can't. You can't just hit him.
The idea is if the quarterback is rolling and the receiver's in front of you, he's between you and the quarterback, you have the right to go through him to try to tackle the quarterback.
I thought that, you know, the dumbest one yesterday that I laughed at, it was the very first one they showed when they had, when the quarterback's in the pocket, defenders can't just chop a receiver. And they showed one of the most vicious cheap shots that I've ever seen.
Scott Fujita from last year.
Scott Fujita on New Orleans against Carolina. Steve Smith ran about a 10, 12-yard in-cut right over the middle. DeLome just drops back. He's right in the pocket. Fires. And Fujita just chopped his legs out from under him, coming right in between the hash marks. To me, the guy should have been ejected from the game, let alone have a penalty called on him. And
it was assault.
Evidently, that wasn't always a penalty.
Right. No, nothing got called in that game. I remember the talk about it the week it happened.
And that was terrible. That was as vicious a cheap shot as I've seen. It was like the Kiwanuka play. They didn't even mention of it from college a few years back when Kiwanuka was still at BC. Just that is now not only it's a 15-yard penalty, but that's one of those that's going to hit you in the pocket,
right,
too, as Larry Nemers said.
But the others, they're cracking down on the taunting. And they've lightened up on defensive ends extending their arms against quarterbacks, so you're not going to have as many of those. Oh, he extended his elbows; it's automatically roughing the passer.
Yeah,
they'll still call it if he shoves him to the ground. If it's the two-step rule.
If it's late, or I think Nemers put it, punishing.
Right.
If you're punishing the guy.
I like a judgment call. I don't want it to be automatic.
It is
I want
a
the guy
call.
To say that was unnecessary.
But how many did we see both sides last year where these little harmless little pushes, and sometimes the quarterback wouldn't even go down.
Right. But they got to call it.
But they had to
call
it.
They were told to call it. If
evidently, they've eliminated
that
flexing of the arms for the defender, and they've given more judgment to the officials.
That's what they were taught, I guess, last year. If he extends his arm, straightens the elbow, you have to call it, whether the quarterback goes down, whether it looked like it hurt, anything. You got to call it.
Because I think that was probably the biggest penalty last year that people had a problem with. Wouldn't you agree? The roughing the passers?
I think it was just so inconsistent.
Well, I don't think it was inconsistent.
I think it was pretty consistent. Too consistent.
I think they were consistently bad all year with that call. In my mind, and I'm not trying to be Joe Homer. I thought there were terrible calls in every game that I saw with that penalty, and not just Patriots games.
And there's a rule about timeouts that I was like Ralph Wilson on. I just didn't really understand what they changed.
The whole 10-second runoff thing.
I know you can always decline a 10-second
runoff.
Well,
a defense can decline that if, in other words, I think if they're behind in an offensive guy
gets
injured,
the extra 10 seconds,
and they want that 10 seconds, I think they can.
It's a very complex proposal.
That's how I felt.
And I really didn't understand it.
A couple days older than Sand.
But however it is, Bill will manipulate it and have somebody faking an injury to work to the Patriots' behalf, just like Willie McGinnis did.
So it wasn't anywhere near the ballyhoo that we had a couple of years ago when the points of
emphasis. Like I said, now that the Colts have won the Super Bowl, Bill Polian.
That was a good line by you, Fred. I like that.
Larry Nemers was great, though.
Larry Nemers,
very
good.
Very good quotes. Talked a lot about the gambling thing and some of the issues, the background
checks they
did.
Yeah, that's interesting how much – the NFL puts a flashlight up their butt.
Just like all the other leagues do.
The most interesting thing I thought from that.
Apparently not like the NBA.
Yeah, they do.
The NBA did it.
They didn't find out about the guy.
This could happen. This is happening in football, too, just so you know. Maybe it's not Larry Nemers, but someone's doing it. I can almost guarantee you that, whether it be pro or college.
You got their number?
No, but I can pretty much guarantee
it. Fred, I mean, we all know that there's security checks, and we know the NBA is not dumb.
But the interesting thing I thought that he said out of that was that they can't go to Las Vegas or Atlantic City during the season, and in the off season they have to call the league and tell them not only that they're going, but what they plan on doing there.
Yeah.
So I thought that was interesting.
Yeah.
We also learned that it's good to be an NFL official when he was joking about the background checks, and he goes, they called my country club, my lawyer, my investment guy, my chauffeur. Jesus, I was like, must be good to be an official these days.
These guys were part-timers.
Right.
All right, webradio@patriots.com's email address. Louie writes in, hello, Andy, Paul, Tom, Fred, Frank, Jake, Gary, and the all-world punter. Traditionally, the middle linebacker spot was reserved for white players like Chuck Benarek, Dick Butkus, and Jack Lambert. I remember Mike Singletary and Harry Carson, but who were the first great black middle linebackers?
That'd be the guy for Kansas City, right?
Willie Lanier? Yeah.
Sounds good to me. I don't know.
I don't know if he was the first, but he was.
To be honest with you, that's not necessarily a position I ever equated with.
What's Bell? Wasn't there? What's his name?
Kendrell Bell.
Bobby Bell.
He was one, right?
Was he a middle linebacker? I don't know. I don't really know.
I'm just thinking of Lanier. Definitely the guy for Kansas City was one of them. I don't know who the first was.
I just never equated middle linebacker as a position.
Paul's colorblind.
That had anything to do with race? No, but I mean, I can understand if people say quarterback.
Right.
Okay, now I can look back and say, yeah, I think there was a time where blacks were probably prejudiced against, for being quarterbacks.
Things that stand out, like if the best corner in the NFL was white, that would stand out to anybody.
Jason Sehorn made a career out of it.
Right.
Being average?
Yeah.
Exactly.
And being white, because he was white.
Alex writes in, as I read into about Curtis Martin's career, I get a feeling of very good but not great in the sense that his numbers are big, but he lacked postseason productivity. Like a Bledsoe of running backs.
This email.
I don't know if you have already debated this
he's
issue.
He's got the media guide in his hand.
But do you think
he's going to 96?
But do you think Martin will be enshrined in Canton someday? I also noted some criticism about some first ballot inductees, Jim Kelly and Steve Young. Do you think they shouldn't have made it in their first year of eligibility?
Martin is going in. He's going in on his first ballot. I would argue the exact opposite, that he wasn't always a numbers guy. He didn't have the Barry Sanders 80 yards run. It was 5, 6, 7. He was very consistent. I'm sorry, if you've watched Curtis Martin play and you don't think he's a Hall of Famer, I'd be shocked by
that. And not just talent, but durable, tough. He's got like all the intangibles.
Everything that you want in a
running
back.
You want. He's got
his very first playoff game as a Patriot. 19 carries for 166 yards and 3 touchdowns.
He choked. Spotlight got to him there a little bit.
Okay, you know, his numbers were down a little bit in the next couple of games, although he did score touchdowns.
Right.
You know, 19 for 59 with a touchdown against Jacksonville, 11 for 42 in the Super Bowl, but a huge touchdown that got him back within 6 in the third quarter of that game. And then he was hurt the next time they went to the playoffs in 97, so we didn't have didn't have the postseason there, and then
and he had
some
good games with the Jets.
He also played well with the Jets.
Yeah.
And bottom line,
I don't
fourth,
remember him being a choker.
Fourth,
no, not at all.
All time,
he didn't lose his helmet.
Fourth, that's a lot of all time. Fourth all time leading rusher.
He's definitely a Hall
Come
of
on.
Famer. Come on,
good, not seriously. Great.
I might argue
what
that.
Is, I mean,
Steve
Fred
Young,
doesn't want him in because he left the Patriots.
No,
I actually love Tom's description of him too. Some guys pile up numbers. They weren't necessarily all that effective, but they were flashy, and they piled up these huge numbers because you might bottle a guy up for the whole game, and then he runs for 60 yards for a touchdown. Curtis Martin did not make a career out of that.
No.
Curtis Martin did it, you know, and not a
He's
big
a
huge guy. Did it as a workhorse and, averaging between 4 and 4.5 yards a carry, never having these eye-popping, 80-yard runs every game like a Barry Sanders dynamic kind of guy.
Right.
I think Curtis Martin is the epitome of a Hall of Famer.
And we always hear the fans complaining about this guy. Curtis Martin is what's right about football in the NFL. That's a guy, whichever team he plays for, that's someone you want to root for.
Right.
And in my opinion, no-brainer.
Let's see. PJ writes in, thank you for all the job you're doing at camp. I can't believe all the info you're getting out to the fans. We really appreciate it. I feel closer to the team and more informed than ever before, although I still wish you would video podcast Patriots today. Jake says it's podcasted, but I can't get it. I'll have to look into that. I thought it was. Used to be. Chris Ferrero will have to talk to him
Who's
about that.
Jake?
What?
You.
Jake.
You don't know who Jake Steele is?
That's Fred.
No.
Oh. Fred gave himself
don't you
a
listen
name
to the show?
God, no.
Anyway, I love the fact that Gaffney.
Only when he's
let
on
us know.
Anyway, I love
Maybe
the fact that Gaffney and Welker look good thus far.
Still funny.
We're going to need a number two receiver to go alongside Moss when Stallworth is hurt during the year, which he always is. Throw Watson and Dave Thomas in the mix, and this offense will be unstoppable.
Where did you get Dave Thomas from?
Also, I just got tickets for the Monday night game in December at Baltimore. If you have time, we'll meet up somewhere, and I'll bring you some crab cakes from the best place Baltimore has to offer.
What's that?
I don't know. Oh. I'm still debating on whether to wear my Brady jersey or the jersey I may buy with Jay Steele on the back.
Don't do that.
That
wear that.
Like
do it and wear it.
Don't waste your money.
The number would be 00, representing what he adds to PFW. Keep the camp reports coming, fellas, and thanks for the info.
Wow.
P.S. Scalavino had a rough start in my book with the whole punting fiasco and his idea to move Garrett Mills to linebacker. But he actually does a really good job with the camp cast, and I think the toe can be a great addition to the PFW.
I know from experience.
Thank you.
See, they're calling for you to do more camp casts. So good luck with those.
So not all these fans are stupid. That's good to know.
Whoa, wow.
Someone finally gets
a compliment. I got a compliment.
He goes right at him. Jeez.
That's what we do on this show.
The only thing I would say, as much as I like Dave Thomas, I don't know how big a part of the offense he's going to be this year, being hurt and everything, so we'll have to take a wait and see on that.
Bill says he's from Whittier, California. Good work on the show and the blogs. Can you put Belichick's press conference out as MP3 podcast?
Oh.
It seems like I used to be able to
just
listen to them without having to watch them on a video player. The press conference link says you need real player to listen to them, but what you really actually need is a flash video player, which I can't install because of my corporate network policies.
Probably an off-the-air don't worry email.
About it.
Don't you
go
think?
Home and listen.
Don't worry about it.
P.S.
Go home and listen.
P.S. I'm glad the sleep apnea problem has been addressed. We are all looking forward to the kinder and gentler Tom, but now the rest
don't
of the PFW crew will be in a bad mood because Tom has dashed their hopes of him going to sleep and not waking up.
No, wow. There's still a pretty good chance of that happening. I don't know if
I don't
you
know
see the
when
size
I've
that
I've wished
mask.
Tom's death before.
Yeah,
twice.
I don't wish death on
anyone. J.W. says he's looking for the legend known as
list.
The Tout. Do you know who this guy is?
That's
who?
Me.
The infamous past writer of The Fire Sale. Did you write The Fire Sale?
Yeah, you know that I did.
Was that the
No, he doesn't. He didn't read your resume.
Yeah, that was the fantasy article I used to write.
Oh, okay. All right, so JW is looking for you.
For good. What? Why are all these people all of a sudden
I sent
for
that.
Well, the money, that's why.
Oh, yeah. That I sent that email to
I don't know. Oh, anybody money.
No?
No.
That's why I'm sending to you, in case they're creditors. I don't want them pounding me.
I don't owe one single person a cent.
Ryan writes in, I know this might be a little off topic, but I think lots of Pats fans would love to see the following additions to their day. Can Gary effort this at some point? Load Patriots today onto the New England Patriots iTunes lineup. I can't stress
here?
Enough how important this is. I don't
Can you ignore these tech
yeah.
you know, technology?
You take care of
Chris Ferreira, email us and tell us what's going on with Patriots today. I thought we were podcasting that.
So are these things not going anywhere?
Chris is
going
to ask for another meeting now. This is going to be...
I think people are excited that Patriots Today actually has a new beautiful host.
Well, she's not on it yet, though.
Well, she's made an appearance on one or
people
two shows.
People are getting prepped.
I think people are getting psyched
yeah.
about that, and they want to...
Sounds a little
now.
Creepy.
I enjoy seeing her. I like looking at her a lot better than I do Bilo.
If we could just get Bilo to shut the bleep up.
They want an RSS feed to the PFW blog hitting reload is so 1995.
Oh, what? Come on.
Now what is our RSS feed?
I don't even know what
that
means.
As soon as we make an update, it would just feed to their...
So why don't we have that?
I don't know.
But then, aren't you the executive director of new media?
But in Fred's defense, anything I've ever gone to, I hit reload. Like if I'm at a page that you want to update, I've always hit refresh.
Yeah.
I didn't know that was so outdated.
It's one button click.
We'd love to see a video version of PFW in progress, but this is an old saw at this point.
And we would also like, Fred, to have shirts and stuff out there. We have fans all over the place. You're missing out. I tell you, I don't think you're on the cutting edge like you used to.
Let's ask the fans. Are you
losing
the fans
now? Are you losing the fastball a little bit? Are you losing the fastball?
Would fans buy Patriots Football Weekly apparel?
No.
Shirt?
Yes.
We're asking the fans, not you.
Fred, let me ask you a question.
They'll wear it if we give it to them.
Fred,
they'll buy it.
Let me ask you a question,
Fred.
Fred,
they buy us lunch.
Andy, hang on. Let me ask you a question, Fred. A couple of months ago, if I said to you people would pay $70 for us to eat, what would you say?
No, I knew they would.
Oh, okay, they would do that, but they wouldn't buy PFW.
We need shirts, bags, caps,
people are asking
like
to take
that.
Pictures with us. They want our autographs. We're huge, and you don't even know it.
We need a PFW store.
Yeah.
Webradio at patriots.com. Let us
One
know.
One person asked
buy.
For his autograph, and all
tell,
of a sudden,
let
tell
us know
Fred
if you would
he's
buy
wrong.
PFW
There's
merchandise.
Been a couple.
Let us know.
Fortunately, I happened to take the afternoon practice off yesterday, Fred, so I didn't have any of those people.
The entire Boxborough crew was here, Craig
what about
and
a nice,
Ben.
What about a
no
nice
one was
polo
making
shirt.
Paul uncomfortable.
Yeah,
nice
a nice golf shirt,
PFW,
the logo.
Well,
we can wear it on the
caps.
TV show.
We have caps.
We could have,
red shirts, white shirts.
Cap.
You don't like the cap?
I have a shirt. I have
the one I have
at
my...
Couple shirts.
No. We have legitimate with the real logo on.
Let's hear from the fans.
Carol's got boxes on.
Let's hear what the fans have
I want one.
I'll tell her to give
Laptop
you one.
Laptop bags. We could have a few different items. It would be good advertising for us in press boxes and media workrooms, the combine.
I hope it's Flanders.
I think you're missing out on a possibility
let's
here,
hear,
Fred.
Let's hear from Patriots Nation.
You know, I'm
let's
thinking a nice small SUV for me with the logo painted on the side.
You know, I used to have on my Jeep, I used to have the wheel cover in the back. I had Patriots Football Weekly with the 1-800 number. But I had a back in at the strip clubs.
Hey, Bob!
I didn't want
you're a loser!
To know where let's see.
And we've all seen him back in, and it's not pretty.
Took out half the club.
Matt's from Oregon. I read yesterday that Teddy Bruschi wasn't looking too good in practice. Can you expand on this? I know he's lost a step as he's aged, but should we be worried? Can his experience and smarts carry him through one more season successfully? He should be sharing the load a little more this season anyway, right? Thanks for keeping the ball rolling this offseason. It would have gone a lot slower without you.
Yes, in theory, he should be able to split the load a little bit with Seo. Yesterday morning, Bruschi got a lot of time off with Brady and Moss.
I didn't think he...
Then yesterday afternoon, he was splitting reps with Junior Seau. All the veterans were back on the field. Brady was throwing. Moss was catching. And Junior Seau got a lot of run against the pass-heavy offense they were seeing. Brewski rotated in. So I do think he can split time with Seau and probably get through the season. But he still looks a couple steps behind when he's trying to cover anybody out of the backfield.
Okay. Josh says he's from Arlington. Let's see. Which Arlington?
Virginia.
Is it? Yeah, Virginia. We have a lot of Virginia fans. He says, now I know listener crime is not really the right thing to do.
But it's fun.
But I need to explain something to Matt Ding Fries Are Done from Springfield. His comparison of me buying you guys lunch during the show to me buying Tom Brady flowers and candy after a good game may be the dumbest attempt at an analogy I've ever heard in quite some time. Last week, the PFW listeners heard, the four of you are pretty much doing this for free. Now, I know some of you, like Andy, get a certain measure of satisfaction by hearing your own voice while filling the radio host role, but not getting paid for your time during the show.
The fries are done. Go get them. They're going to burn.
Not comparable to getting paid $800,000 to show up and play a game. In light of this, a little lunch as a thanks for the entertainment seems pretty reasonable to me.
Oh, yeah.
This asshat find no better cause to spend his time on? I've never heard that one. Asshat. I like that. He's written twice now to complain how
that's
you guys don't deserve lunch.
Oh, wait. I'm with this guy. Why did I take a shot at him?
Yeah. Don't deserve free lunch once a week. There has to be something more worthwhile than crusading against the PFW free lunch bit. Thanks for all the training camp coverage. Tell Tom congrats on the wedding. I've only been married for just over a year. It's been great. We'll be having our first child in 11 weeks, and I'm sure that it will get even better. Time to get to the backyard drills with Parcells.
Who's this?
This is Josh. Asshat. I like that.
Well, thanks, Josh. Other than the part about you being married for a year and it's great, I agree with everything in that email. You're a good man.
Very
keep
good.
Keep sending out those sandwiches and those pizzas. We love you.
Good stuff, Josh.
All right.
Yeah. Thanks.
Gary, let's take a break. We have more emails when we get back at PFW in Progress.
Passionate rivalries, international soccer, the league's biggest stars, and your New England Revolution. It's a summer full of soccer at Gillette Stadium. Be there for the CONCACAF Gold Cup first-round doubleheader and quarterfinal tripleheader that includes the Revs and Columbus Crew, a rematch of the 2006 MLS Cup with the Houston Dynamo. And don't miss the LA Galaxy on August 12th when soccer icon and international superstar David Beckham makes his first trip ever to Foxborough. Taylor Twellman.
Oh, what a strike by Taylor Twellman.
Matt Reese.
Oh, what a save. Are you kidding me?
And the rest of the Revs are turning up the heat this summer, and you won't want to miss a minute of exciting soccer action at Gillette Stadium. Tickets for the Revolution start at just $18 and are on sale now. Call the Revolution ticket office at 1-877-GET-REVS. That's 1-877-GET-REVS to get your ticks, get your kicks, and get the Revolution. When you got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down Franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
Asshat. I like that. Little Chemical Brothers, huh, Gary? Nice. Nice. Tom, you like Chemical Brothers?
Sure. No.
All right.
Tom's afraid to say he doesn't like something. People start yelling at his musical taste again.
Tom's busy.
Asshat.
Tom's busy watching Cowboys training camp on NFL Network.
Tom's been preoccupied for quite a while in this show.
Craig from Boxborough writes in.
Baby.
He was the recipient of some autographs yesterday. Craig from Boxborough says,
yeah.
Tom.
Oh, yeah.
You mentioned how Eric ran over to give Ben the autograph. Good thing you mentioned that, since it took us forever to figure out who he was. Doesn't look like much of a kicker.
I think he looks just like a kicker.
Yeah.
You can take that any way you want.
I will. Thank
you. Like a rocket.
Sean McLaughlin writes in, I would buy the Mr. Peep shirt and also the Tom Casale shirts. Simply the best. Seriously, we need PFW shirts and gym bags.
Yes, shirts, gym bags, laptop bags, hats, T-shirts, long-sleeve T-shirts.
The fans have spoken.
Keep those emails coming.
Freddie, get on it.
Let's
Who's
see.
Our merchandise
Eric
partner?
Wants to know, now that the referees have instant replay on a large HD TV, will we see what the refs see at home?
What's Don't that you now? See it pretty much now?
Yeah. Well, the refs see the TV cameras. It's so.
So we've always been seeing what the
but
refs
the refs. See. It's now HD, and it wasn't in the past. Is that the,
what I guess? Yeah.
I know college football.
I know
there's TiVo.
All
so.
The you know all the replay machines that you've seen, they're all being replaced by new
with
stuff
with HD. Full HD, 1080?
I don't know.
Do you
but
guys,
I, but
do you
I agree with these guys. I always thought that everything the refs saw, we see in
yeah,
replays.
They do.
I don't think they have access to any replays that we don't.
Because it's all the TV
Do you guys
cameras.
Think that people might think that's more complicated than it actually is? There's some guy just looking at the TV replay like we are, and but he's the one making the decision.
Right.
I think that's the only
And the
thing.
Same Absolutely. Things we are. It's not like he has this super-duper laser camera special
Yeah,
something.
If they had better angles, we would be the TV would be showing us.
And they have just a better base knowledge of the rules.
Let's see. Eric in Manchester, New Hampshire wants to know about training camp. Can we drink liquor in public in Foxborough?
Yeah.
Well, judging
sure
from
can.
Tom's blogs, yes. Or do we have to hide our liquor? I might come down from New Hampshire for practice.
Now, I don't think. I don't
hide
think
your liquor. But you can buy you can
Are
buy
you sure?
beer.
You can buy
I think
beer
you can
there.
Buy beer, right?
But you can't bring your own liquor
you can't
in.
Bring
you can't
it
bring
in.
Your own, but you can buy beer.
Unless you have sandals like Fred that has a flask built in for some unknown reason.
Ah, those what do they call them? The reef. They always have some like I have another pair that have a bottle opener built into the bottom of it.
Only rich people.
Gary knows about reef sandals, right? Flip flops? No.
He's not quite as rich as you.
Your young girlfriend hasn't bought you some reef sandals?
To
no?
Fiance.
Brad has a pair of sandals with a flask in them?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't.
Are you serious?
Just go to the next topic. I don't even know what that means.
I'll show you next time.
It means they cost him about $50 more than they should
have. How do you have a flask in just one?
Eric
go on.
Also, Eric from Manchester also says that Eric needs to speak up when he talks because he can't hear him. So.
Okay.
Oh, I see what you did there. That was funny.
Cecilia,
almost as funny as your career you told us about.
Cecilia in Boston says she's enjoying the blog very much. By the way, how come Tom's the only one that writes it?
By the way, why don't you try reading?
Because he's an egomaniac.
I got fans yelling to me that I'm way better than Tom.
I blogged one day.
Tom won't let anybody
Listen,
else blog.
Plus, the egomaniac won't let anybody else narrate.
Let me say this
Tom
on
is so not that I don't like what Tom does.
Tom is
but,
so territorial that he just takes the card home with him when he leaves.
And then emails in, can you guys blog today?
Let me say this on the record. If Andy Hart would like to blog from today till the end of training camp, I am more than willing to let him
We're
take over the
here.
Job.
We got to rotate reps.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I thought I was the egomaniac who loves blogging.
You are.
Go ahead. You can have the card. You can keep the card. You can sleep with the card. You can do whatever you want with the card.
Well, that's what you do.
I say you take him up on this.
The rest of camp?
Yeah. See how long it goes. It'd be like having the DTs over in the
Paul's
side.
I was
boss.
Sick of it halfway through
If Paul tells you to do it, you got to do
Hi-ho,
it.
Hi-ho. I am not the boss.
You're the editor.
You are the boss.
He's the assistant editor.
For the rest of camp.
He assists you.
I'll blog today.
We are all your minions.
No.
I'm the boss.
Need the info.
Cecilia from Boston, who says she loves the blog, is it only one of you at a time blogging? How about two at different angles? I know we want more from you. Do you guys know the practice schedule for the coming weekend? It's not on the website yet.
Why is Bruce
First
Bowen
of all,
talking
we
to
don't,
the Cowboys?
We only have one battery.
Yeah.
So.
Second of all, the different angle would be from approximately 30 inches to the left or right because
right.
we generally sit next to each other and
well,
we're
sit,
really not allowed to
sit in the stands and do it.
Oh, no.
You don't
want to
sit.
I would need security.
With all those people, you're just going to bring a laptop
Besides,
into the stands?
Yeah, Fred, I have to work. All those people wanting my autographs and taking pictures with me, I don't have time for that when I'm working.
What if you have one on offense, one on defense? One blogger covering the offense. One
yeah, because you need that.
Fred, do you think practice is more than what it is? You want seven stories up on the web. You want one offensive block and one defensive
Apparently
block.
Apparently the fans want it, too.
I mean, I'm already
one
blogging
fan.
About Troy Polamalu jerseys.
We are in the service business.
Yeah, I think we're providing a pretty good service.
More than everybody else is.
I think you are, too. Let's see. What else we got? We got a lot of emails here. I'm trying to get to as many as I can. Eric is from Boise, Idaho.
A lot of Eric's.
Haven't written in a while, but I would buy a PFW shirt.
Yeah,
but would have to have a picture of Tom's mug across the back.
I wouldn't wear one of those.
It could also have a dialogue bubble saying "douchebag" for realism. Love the show. Looking forward to the season.
This is just
spiraled out of control.
The fans
now.
Have spoken. Well, I could have my. I'll branch off and have my own T-shirts at some point. I'm sure.
A blogger.
They'll all Tommy be like drama. Two sizes too small, you know, to show off the guns.
Good call.
That's a good idea. That's a good idea. Actually, a good idea.
I think you should have tank tops though.
Tank tops.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. And we'll come out with a line of Zubas for Andy.
Now, would the tank tops include a certain tattoo?
They don't need to because it exposes the arm.
Yeah, but fans would want the realistic version, so they have to put a fake tattoo
of a
certain
logo on their
arm.
It comes with a fake tattoo.
You
have one of those rub-on tattoos?
A tattoo of me.
Okay.
Of my face.
Okay.
Get a tattoo like Kyle did.
And simply the
600 words of Latin on his biceps.
It'll be a big tattoo, and underneath it'll say, you know why?
Okay, good. That's what we'll go with.
Jake Steele shirts, those are next. I'd buy one of those.
Danny writes in, how many linebackers do you think will stick to the 53-man roster? I'm thinking it will be 9 with Rodgers and Lua battling for the 9th spot. Also, do you think Izzo could play inside linebacker if he ever had to fill in for Bruschi due to injury, or is he strictly limited to special teams play? In other words, I guess my question is, can Izzo play linebacker at all, and have you ever seen him play linebacker since being a Patriot?
I saw Willie McGinnis.
He has played linebacker.
He's on the goal line group very much,
but
you know, often.
He can't play.
Not full time.
He's played in junk time. And
he's getting long in the tooth like the rest of them, too.
The guy's been around for years on different teams, right, and it does not play linebacker, so there's got
to
be a reason.
If they got
for
to
that.
The point where Seau, Bruschi, Alexander, Vrabel, Thomas, they were all hurt and out.
Lua.
You know, he'd go in, but he can't. Play.
He's basically, wouldn't you say what you said that you thought Willie Andrews would be 10, 12 years
ago? He's got a nice career doing that, and as you guys just mentioned, he does have a role in the goal line defense, you know, not necessarily as an interior guy. He's on the perimeter. We saw Willie McGinnis chew his face off in Denver a couple of years ago in the playoffs. I think that's about all you can. Maybe a strictly situational defensive player, but very, very little defense for him.
Okay. Pat Pry. Pie writes in.
What?
Pratt Pie. That's his name.
Pratt Pie.
Yep. He says, first off, I want to thank Tom, you know why, Casale for his diligence in keeping us Pats fans consistently updated with training camp action. I live in Maryland, so there's no way for me to attend the camp, so I really love the blog. See? Big on
You're
the
welcome.
Web. How many views did we have yesterday?
12,000.
12,000? First off, is it me or
Who wants to know?
First off, is it me or does Belichick seem to be a fairly nice, calm guy?
What are you kidding me?
Or is that how he is normally this time of year with the media? The other day he said, here we go with another day in paradise. I was like Tom saying, what? He likes going out there and giving his press conference. You know.
What?
Next, I won't present an illogical and near impossible trade scenario like Asante Samuel for Larry Johnson, like someone asked Paul in PFW Q&A. I thought that was ridiculous. Nice utopian thought, but ridiculous. Now, on to my question, logically speaking. According to each of you, what would be the most doable trade using either Caldwell, Washington, Gaffney for a decent playmaking cornerback from another team? This, of course, for depth at the cornerback position, now with Scott out, and while Asante still wanting to act like a moron. What do you guys think? What kind of level of cornerback could you get for one of those receivers?
The same level of receiver
that
they are.
The Randall Gay level.
Yeah.
Maybe below.
I mean, that's the best you're going to get as a backup. You can't. I mean, you're going to get a starting cornerback for your fourth, fifth, sixth, or seventh receiver?
No.
I don't know.
No.
What about a team that really needs a receiver?
Well, how many of those are there that have a cornerback that we would want?
I don't know.
But how many teams really need Kelly Washington?
Or Jabbar Gaffney. They could have had those guys when they were available.
And they might still be able to get them.
And I think every team has starters.
Just wait a couple weeks.
I think every team has starters at that level, at receiver. I don't think there's
I agree with you, Paul. And
except
I think,
the 2006
and I think
Patriots.
I think one of the reasons Jabbar Gaffney and Rashay Caldwell look so good is the guy who's throwing them the ball has the ball out there every single time on the money pretty much. And I think that has something to do with it.
And I
think if you take Jabbar Gaffney and put him in Houston again with Schaub, I don't think he looks as good. That's just my opinion.
And I also think I want to reserve judgment for another couple of weeks to see when the Mosses and the Welkers and the Washingtons and all these other guys now have another month of the offense under their belts to see how much of a difference between Caldwell and Gaffney there is, you know, between everybody else.
Sean in Hazleton, Pennsylvania, couple camp questions. One, I know chemistry is a big topic in Boston sports the last few days. With that being said, how does Dante Stallworth missing the first week of camp hurt his relationship with Tom Brady, or is it a plus for a fringe guy like Jabbar Gaffney?
I think we covered that earlier in the show.
I think both. Yeah. I think it hurts Stallworth, and I think it is a plus for those other guys.
Two, there is a new coach that has not been talked about, Bill O'Brien. What kind of role is he having in camp, and who is he primarily working with?
Nobody.
He's a coaching assistant.
Coaching assistant, as low as it gets.
Oh, what's
he
doing?
He was a little bit misrepresented.
You don't have to beat up on a man's career.
I'm telling the facts
first
here.
First Larry and Nam, now
well,
Bill
I mean,
he,
in terms of the coaching staff, he's as low as it gets.
Yeah, but you make it sound like he's not even worth
well,
being
because
on the
he was kind of hyped up when he came here as like a four-year offensive coordinator and 2 years at Duke and 14 years in the ACC, and now he's been reassigned as one of the three coaching assistants. That's
and I'll tell you, I don't
you
even
you couldn't
know.
Even name half the guys that have been coaching assistants in the past. Some have been, you know, now some they're of the offensive coordinator.
Some of them have moved on quicker than others, but I can't even tell you, because I wouldn't know Bill O'Brien if I fell over him, I couldn't tell you even what he's primarily working with on the practice field.
I bet the offense. I'm just saying.
Okay. Let's see. TG and NJ. Yo, Jake, Fred, whatever you call yourself. Tom has been doing an outstanding job. Show him the money. His training camp coverage has been excellent, from dealing with bad computer batteries to blogging while in outrageous traffic. Thank God he has his Darth Vader mask to help with the sleep apnea, or else the entire staff might be subjected to a fright night of their own. Wait a minute. Is that why he calls himself Fright Night? It's the Darth Vader sleep apnea mask.
We can go with
no,
that.
It's because he's a loser.
Just call me Fright Night, but I like that part about the money thing. Talk about that more.
Nice call on Justice Hairston, by the way, Fred. Once again, you prove your football acumen.
It's justice.
According to the illustrious B-Lo, a.k.a. Fright Day, Guskowski is the only kicker at camp, but I believe there's another kicker present. Hello, Eric Scalavino.
Oh, all right.
Get your facts straight, mister. Welcome to Patriots Today.
Today.
Oh. And he won't be there tomorrow.
I clicked on I clicked on the pay-per-view or the on-demand version of his show the other night. It's really bad.
What?
When he has somebody must have talked to him.
They've TV-ized
They've
him.
Made him Ron Jaworski.
He's like Ron Jaworski.
Welcome to Patriots Today.
I'm
Brian.
You know when we fool
I think
around?
He was better before somebody told him to say today and I'm low.
Well,
he does. That's not an exaggeration. It's like, you know, when we do our little impersonations of Ron Jaworski, that's what it sounds like. Yeah,
this is a very explosive team that is big and fast and can score in a large number of ways.
Yeah. So there you go.
And I have no problem making fun of myself.
And we've been making fun of him
for
that,
crying out loud,
for a whole year.
I give it
plus
two
no
minutes.
Offense.
I actually think I think his delivery's gotten better.
I give it 2 minutes until I see his head coming through that door right there.
with a member of Human Resources.
Hey, you're going to be on
someone
TV.
Someone with no socks.
You know, that's...
well,
let's see. Inquiries from TG. One, so far my biggest concerns are tight end and defensive back. With Chad Scott lost for the season and Asante still a question, how does the defensive backfield position look to you guys? And what happened to Kyle Brady? The man is a mountain. How did he get hurt? Well, we don't know if he's hurt.
Yeah, he's an old mountain.
Wait, he hasn't been out there.
Yeah, he hasn't been out there since Saturday. I'm assuming he's hurt.
Assuming he's hurt. And I think
he's hurt, and it's minor because he was out there for the walkthrough with a helmet on, so he was. It's not like he broke his leg, and he's not day to day like Chad Scott.
And I also saw him during the day on Monday, before practice, and it wasn't like he was doing. I saw him around the stadium. It didn't look like he was heading to rehab or anything like that.
No. Two, also, just what is the conditioning run that the players have to do in order to participate in camp? And did Eric not complete his, and that's why he's not at camp?
Wow.
Conditioning run. It depends on your position.
What is the conditioning run?
Yeah.
It's a series of 40-yard sprints that it's 20, well, for running backs, wide receivers, skilled guys, it's 20, is it 40-yard dashes or 60-yard dashes? Which way does it go?
I want to say it's 60s.
Yeah, I think it's 60.
60, 50, 40?
60s, and I think they have to run each in 8 seconds or less with a 2-minute break in between
like
sets of 10.
And
then, you know, the tight ends, linebackers, that group, they have to run the 50s, and offensive and defensive linemen, the bigger guys, run the 40s. And the times obviously change.
Right.
It's a series of 20 sprints with a certain amount of time that you have to do them.
Very much timed in terms
it's
of
very
rest,
difficult
every
test.
Rep. you know, you finish one and you get your whatever seconds, and then boom, you start. You're doing the next one.
Randy Moss talked about how precise it all has to be too. Like, you know, you have to start it over if you touch the grass.
Right, touch the grass the wrong way.
Is it safe to say that if you participate every day in the off-season program, you'll have no problem doing that?
It would depend on whether part of the off-season program is a dry run at the conditioning.
That's what I'm saying.
I think that the whole thing.
Well, no, I think you could do everything perfect in the off-season, and if you've never done their conditioning run, I think you could fail.
If you participate in the Patriots off-season conditioning, will is it safe to say that the conditioning run would be okay for you?
I don't know if they run a dry run.
I think they do.
Well, if they do, then yes.
Yeah.
But I don't know if they do, because it seems like we see every year a couple veteran newcomers who aren't quite ready to take it, and they get they're mentally stressed out, and they get tight.
I think it's all mental.
But that's why I think if they ran it five times in the spring, I think they'd be ready for it. I don't know for sure that they run it beforehand.
Three. So what's the deal with Stallworth? Is he the surprise receiver not to make the cut? PUP IR.
He'll make.
Well, he's
the
on
cut.
PUP.
Yeah, he's on PUP now. He'll make the cut whether it's on PUP or elsewhere, but he'll make the team. We talked about this before. How come they're all asking us all this stuff that we've already covered?
It's due to the latency of the internet.
Boy, this Eric, man, you don't want to get on his bad side.
No wonder no one likes
Eric. It's a 2-hour show. Not everyone sits and listens to the whole show.
You know, I thought none of these people had jobs. That's why they were listening for the whole 2 hours.
Eric really ingratiating himself with the fans here.
Sorry, fans.
I'm not sitting anywhere near him in the tent.
Sorry, fans. No one likes him very much.
Yeah, we don't like him either.
I mean,
he's Joe Galloway.
He's yelling over about the email people sent. Well, what's wrong with you?
I don't care.
Gary is it's Gary A. N. from Eastern Mass or Gary A. from Northeastern Mass. I don't know.
Well, I hope he doesn't ask a question we already talked about.
As you guys
gotta help him.
As you guys predicted, Moss took number 81. You guys always know the skinny. So along with that, with your vast knowledge of all things Patriots, how are Brady and Moss gelling?
Fine.
Good. Yeah, I see them talking a lot when they're standing off on the side, it seems. They're always like, it's kind of like me at my wedding with the hand motions, and you can't really hear anything.
Right.
They seem to be talking about different things, so I think they're gelling pretty well.
Playing poker.
I was told by someone inside the organization that do not give even a second of thought to anything with this whole Randy Moss potential distraction thing. There's absolutely no chance of that happening. It's been as seamless as could possibly be, and everybody is absolutely thrilled with the way it's worked out so far.
Sounds like the Corey Dillon situation.
So, no, this one actually sounds like it's right.
Yeah.
based on what I've seen.
A little early. I mean, I tend to agree with that and hope that it's true, but isn't it early to say that?
Well, they're saying right now.
Let's play a game.
Right, Paul? They're saying it's been seamless.
Yeah, I don't think he can tell me. The person that told me this, I don't think he could look ahead 5 months from now and say that it's going to be like this.
And, Fred, I'm not sure who wrote it. I think it was a national guy said a while back when they got him, this will work out because he doesn't care about money and catches. He cares about his respect and place in history that's kind of been lost. So I think that's why for a year you're not going to have any trouble whatsoever because he wants to get back to being, you know, the guy on the
receiver.
Tip of everybody's tongue when they talk about receivers.
Right.
So I think that's
right.
Why.
Now you think of him, you think of all the bad things.
And
he wants you to think
he used
of the good
to be.
Things.
When you talk about Randy Moss last year, he used to say, remember when.
Right.
And I think he wants to get back to that.
Okay. Jim writes in, with Chad Scott now on IR and Samuels possibly not returning until the 10th week, could any of you foresee Belichick and Pioli contacting Tyrone Poole? It's my understanding that he was released by the Raiders in March, but I'm not sure if he wants to play football anymore.
He didn't want to play football 5 years ago.
Look, I'll say this. With Belichick, you absolutely can't rule stuff out.
I'll rule it out
completely, but I would be very surprised with that one.
No
I
chance.
Would.
Plus, he could get hit by a bus crossing the street
any
day now.
It did not end well for Tyrone Poole here in New England. I will say that.
Didn't start well either.
Well, it started well. His first year here, he was pretty good.
Except right after he decided he was going to retire.
I dislike Tyrone Poole immensely because
I think he's stiff.
Because he hurt my job when he opened up his big fat mouth to Andy and talking about retirement.
Everybody hates Tyrone Poole. Either the people he played with, the people he played for, ball boys.
Yeah,
every person in that
Bruschi
locker room hated him.
Even Bruschi took a swat at him in his book.
He's a fraudulent Christian.
It didn't end well for Tyrone Poole here.
Bad guy.
Let's see. DL writes in, I hope this isn't the point where PFW in Progress jumps the shark. Adding Eric is like when Scrappy Doo joined the Mystery Team or Cousin Oliver joined the Brady Bunch.
I like the Scrappy Doo reference. That's pretty good, actually.
I don't know Cousin Oliver.
Remember Cousin Oliver last season?
Come on.
I don't know.
They adopted this kid, basically.
I don't remember the last season of the Brady Bunch. I'm...
That's good, Gary. Scooby-Doo theme song.
Interesting quote from Patriots punter Josh Miller today. Asked whether you can determine anything from practice performance. He said, "It's always what happens when it really counts." I'm looking forward to the preseason games. Interesting. I thought it was just the opposite.
Commentary.
Question on DL depth. After wide receiver and safety, this is one of the most interesting competitions. How has Lakeven been doing at backup NT so far? Will either of the new veteran backups, Rashad Moore and Kenny Smith, make the team? Is Santonio Holmes going to get a shot?
And who do you guys see behind? He's their number two receiver.
Santonio Thomas.
And who do you guys see behind Warren, Wilfork, Seymour, and Green?
Warren. Right.
Well, I think right. Happened again, Andy.
What?
We were at practice, and I turned to him and I said, you know who's kind of the forgotten man around here? Santonio Thomas. No one has ever emailed in or ever asked about Santonio Thomas.
He seems to
Thomas.
Have been on the roster since like the 60s.
And Andy said that they like him. You said that
I
you think
they
kind
of like him.
You know, it's funny. I had a feeling today when Bill started off, you know, he said a couple of, you know, procedural kind of, you know, I figured there was going to be a release or two.
Tom Malone.
I thought for sure it was going to be Kenny Smith or Rashad Moore, if not both.
Oh, that would have sucked.
I know.
I think Kenny.
We could have just changed the top instead of getting to know it. You should have known.
Those guys, by the way, certainly looked the part.
They looked the part, and I think Kenny Smith has a better chance of sticking because I think Moore is strictly a nose tackle type, where Smith has some versatility to him. He can play some end, some nose tackle, and that's what they seem to like. So if you had to take a bet on one of them, I think I would go
with
Smith.
It's funny because I think you could make an argument. I'm not necessarily saying I disagree with you because I haven't seen enough of either one of them, but I think you could make an argument for the other. If the guy that looks more of the strict nose tackle is good enough, you might be able to carve a role for yourself.
Yeah.
You know, as the backup. I don't know if he's – that's why I said I haven't seen them play enough. Lakeven Smith no one talks about either. He's a guy
–
you know, some days he's out there getting a lot of reps.
Sometimes you never see him.
On the interior and
sometimes when I see him, he's getting pushed around by centers.
They're definitely working
that position pretty hard with different guys, trying to find that one guy, it seems, to be that backup.
Maybe it's Kareem Brown. Maybe the light flicked on. Maybe he's going to be the perfect, you know, because I think he's got some talent.
Let's see. Russell from the UK writes in your post on the website, you said if a player spikes or throws the ball in the field of play, it will result in a 5-yard penalty. I don't buy that at all. That's what Russell says. I don't know what there is to buy.
Well,
I didn't think
it up. It's not an opinion.
I didn't think anything was for sale.
It's PFW merchandise. That's what's to buy.
Yes, buy that.
Take it up with Larry Nemers. He's the one that told us.
If you spike the ball in the field of play, it's an automatic 5-yard penalty.
I don't buy that at all.
Per the NFL.
Maybe he means he just doesn't like the rule.
Okay.
Maybe there was something lost there in translation from British English.
Maybe he's thinking it's a touchdown, field of play. You know, if it's a touchdown, you can still spike the ball on a touchdown.
Yeah.
You just can't if you're, you know, at the 30-yard line, you can't just get up and spike it.
I'll buy it. Joey Feep writes in, Tom, hey, congratulations on your recent marriage. I personally wish you and a long and happy union.
You.
Your biggest
Joey.
Detractor, Joey Feep. P.S. Your blogs from training camp are incredibly dull.
Joey Feep coming back from the dead.
By the way, I'm glad the NFL has the best testing policy in the world. Watching Terrell Owens on the TV right now.
Oh, the steroid
test?
He's
all natural.
They're right up there with the cycling test.
Ben, we'll finish with Ben from Boxborough. Tom, good to meet you at training camp yesterday. Craig thinks I'm a loser for asking for autographs, and frankly, he may not be so wrong, although I was also happy to see Father Paul and Mrs. Frank Welker, although I did get the husband to sign. And I have to say, I think Tom's biceps are bigger than Andy's head.
I agree.
I don't know about that.
You didn't see Father Paul because I wasn't there.
Because he doesn't attend practice.
Yeah, no, actually,
and neither did Fred.
Mrs. Ben, Welker, I wasn't there either.
But Ben took a shot at you.
Mrs. Welker, I wasn't there.
Ben took a shot at Paul. He said, what's Paul working his 3-hour workday? He's not here.
Oh. And I definitely agree about Papagino wings. They really are above and beyond. Anyway, I noticed that guys like Bam Bendy. Childress, CJ Jones, and Chris Dunlap, without the lap, are getting a lot of reps yesterday. If they are to make the roster, what kind of role would they play? It's no secret that wide receiver already has a ton of depth, and it's probably pretty tough for them to make it. although I did notice for at least one drill that Dunlop spent a few plays at corner. Not that it's much at all to get excited about anyway. I think I can sit with you guys in the media tent on Thursday. I bet I would be more help than if Frank were to show up.
No.
Wait a minute,
he's
Fred.
He's making a good point.
Did you use your Chris Dunlap line publicly?
No.
Did you just throw that in?
I threw that in.
Oh.
Yeah, my guess on the Chris Dunlap cornerback thing was that it was a scout kind of thing at the beginning. Yeah, well, at the beginning of practice when they just have guys.
Oh, and Gutierrez is playing safety.
They just have guys lining up on opposite sides of the ball.
Let's see.
Because I haven't seen him play cornerback in training camp. I did miss the afternoon session yesterday.
We would have spotted that. A white jersey on defense. That
I wouldn't put it past you guys.
All right. We got a lot of other emails that I didn't get to, and I want to thank everyone for emailing. We'll try to get to you next
week.
Well,
they're probably just rehashing the stuff we already talked about.
Well, no.
But just avoiding bitch slaps from Eric anyway.
There is one that I want to Joe from Winnipeg, Manitoba, reminds me that today is the last day to vote.
Yes.
For the Hall of Fame candidates. Midnight tonight is when it ends. So if you haven't already voted,
That vote will count.
Stanley Morgan, Ben Coates, Ron Burton, candidates for the Hall of Fame, you have up until midnight tonight to get your vote in. And then I think we're going to announce it on Friday, who's the winner. So
I'm waiting for Fred to go. It was Ron Burton.
All right. Well, that's going to be it for this edition. We'll see you next Wednesday.